On time.
May 8, 2014.
Stug, what can I say? All right, we're going to start the meeting, so let's go around with who's on the phone right now for the F-bomb meeting. Anybody?
Ed Meyer.
Ed, how are you?
Okay.
Anybody else? All right, Ed, it's just you and a couple of...
Cheers. Sorry, I was on mute. This is Tom Iverson with Yakima Nation.
Hey, Tom.
Carl Duggar, McNary Dam.
Carl. Who else we got?
Barry Sears, Caldwell Tribes.
Good morning. Anybody else?
I think
that's it. All righty. We'll just go around the horn here in the room, and then we'll get into the agenda. I'll start. Bernard Clapp with the Corps.
Gary Fredericks, No Fisheries.
Ben Housman, Corps of Bonneville.
Trevor Conder, No Fisheries.
Greg Moody, Walla Walla, Corps of Engineers.
Ann Setter, Corps.
Dave Benner, Fish Pad Center.
Tom Worshipfit.
Jack Colsey, BPA.
Scott Benton, BPA.
Bob Cordy, Corps of the Dallas Corps.
Christine Peterson, BPA.
Agnes is here too.
What is this? The BPA, like, you guys need four
rounds
now?
Yeah.
We're trying to be like the Corps.
The BPA.
There's a few districts. They at least have some excuse.
Yeah, Division 2. Come on. Don't
Locks and one. Okay, so...
Vern, one recommendation.
Yeah.
That exciting change form that I think we may have finished yesterday.
This one right here. Yes.
Yeah, can we move that to the top so we can get that sent off to the jam and make those changes sooner rather than later?
Sure can.
We can make the change at noonish or later.
Yeah, well...
I better call it to Tom.
We'll do that. So, any other add-ons to the agenda requests?
I think Lisa was going to add on a little goose coordination for us, a maintenance request at the spillway. Right, we're going to add that to the agenda, weren't we? Talked to Don Faulkner this morning.
I didn't know.
So anyway, we'd like to have a brief discussion on that.
So, what is that again? Goose. Goose. Maintenance?
Yeah,
I got unit 13 priority there. Anybody else?
What's going on?
We'll wait for that, okay?
Is anybody sitting next to you?
No.
Bated
breath. Come on up.
Okay, so let's approve April minutes. Anybody got any problems with April?
No.
No. All right, consider those approved and get right into the agenda. You want to go ahead and do that right off the bat? Well, we're going to move the task group met yesterday, and I really appreciate the efforts after how many months? I think 13 months. Finally hammered out an operation that we all agreed to, and we'd like to implement this today if we can. If everybody can give the thumbs up on it. Anybody? Thumbs up?
Who was a representative yesterday?
Do you know?
Who's new today? Wasn't yesterday.
Yeah. I thought hard about it last
year. Good.
Yeah.
Break him on the cold. Okay, so this is approved. Way to go! I'm going to give you guys a pause. Way to go! That was a long time.
Smoked salmon. That's your celebration. Smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon.
It's officially the longest change form.
But you know what? You guys, you worked together and we got it done. Yeah. Didn't go to Riog. We got a.
I called that a success. If it
that's
go to
success.
Riog.
Yeah. All right. So that one is done. So
yay.
Implement that, would you?
I will.
You got it ready to rock and roll.
Get back to
So now we'll get into the action items for Walla Walla 211.
Greg? Lower Monumental Dam, yes, it was out of compliance for a number of times because the PLC's been out for since whatever. Of course, Trevor, remember, talked to Bill Spurgeon. Bill said that he'd be able to keep the fishways in compliance. When I talked to Bill Spurgeon about that, he says, yes, if we have somebody sitting there all the time, seeing what's going on all the time. And we had an old, you know, we had our old operators that used to know how to do this stuff, you know, a long time ago before we had so much changes in the tail race operations, pre-spill. You know, and I go, thanks, Bill, I'm going to go back to the F-pump with that type of excuse. That's really going to go forward. Can you give me any good news? Is the PLC been ordered? Is it around someplace? Can I tell them that? And they said, here, while he was on the phone, he called up the person supposed to receive it and came back to me and said, we have it. It's in stock. It's in place. We have it. And I said, okay, good. Let's put it on the wall there. Let's get it going. He says, well, we got to program it. Yeah. Programming takes a little bit of time.
It does.
And it's going to take a little time.
Yeah.
They had the experienced person who programmed the one at Ice Harbor Dam at Lomo to program the PLC. So that's going on right now, and testing it back and forth. So that's
going to take.
And then, okay, I said, how long is it going to take to get in place? And he says, they're thinking by the end of June.
Yeah.
So it's going to take some time.
It takes months.
Jeez. I'm really surprised about that myself. It takes so long, but you know, I see you're shaking your head. Yes, it does.
Yeah. Well, so when you're still running cobalt, you know, it's kind of tough.
Cobalt? Oh, this is Fortran 4.
Fortran 4.
We have 5 with the cards, 360 cards. I didn't say anything. But, you know, Bill and I are talking about this thing. It's out. It's out at Goose. It's out at Lower Granite, from what I understand. And I go, okay, great. Why don't we put this on AMRIP, or an extra piece at every one of the projects, since it takes so blasted long to get in, and reprogram. So we're looking at doing that.
So getting a spare,
at each dam, 5.
How much are they?
Oh, good question. I'll ask.
I
would like to know, too. I mean, but...
What, you're thinking of starting a new company there, Trevor?
PLC company.
Condor PLC.
But, you know, it really is a bummer. You know, it's taking a while.
Yeah.
It really is. And short of, you know, of course, every time they see it out of compliance, they make an adjustment.
Right.
So, you know, that's the only thing, and the adjustment takes a little bit of time for it to get to the operator to flip the switch to make the change and then put it back in compliance.
You were there at the wrong time.
No, he was there every time he reported it wrong, out of place. But the last report he gave out was said that it looked like it was all in compliance.
Okay. That was there last week. It was in compliance.
It was in compliance? Okay, good. So it is most sometimes in compliance.
So I guess if we're going to have it out, you know, until June, I mean, we'd be a little bit vigilant about making sure it's
absolutely
our best.
Yeah, four-bay changes.
Yeah, four-bay changes, tail race changes, spill changes, generator changes. I mean, it's short of having a person sitting there all the time.
It's really four-bay.
Yeah, they have to change
their calories. So, you know, that's the thing. But, you know.
All right.
Thank
good.
You.
Thanks. 212, Lamprey.
Carl,
you want to give a Lamprey entrance vibration issue update?
Look at that. She's not
working. Carl?
Sorry, I had the mute on. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff going on there. Right now, the engineers are doing a redesign of the adjustment wheels or whatever like that, so they can be operated remotely without having to go into an area that requires fault constraints. So they are redesigning that, and we'll be fixing that shortly. Right now, we have the rods on pressure, you know, downward pressure, and that seems to have really stifled the vibration. It hasn't completely eliminated it, but it's a lot better than it was before. And so the next plan, as soon as they get those remote things installed so they can get out there and actually work on it, they're going to try raising it and testing it then too. And they're also rounding up that apparently they were able to borrow some sound equipment from Battelle, I guess, so they're going to be testing that once they get this other stuff fixed. So that's the last I've heard. I need to get back on them and see where they are on that design process and getting that thing fixed so it's easier to adjust the stuff. That's all I know about it so far.
Follow up next month?
Yeah, sure. We should be done by then, hopefully.
Is that okay?
Yeah. No, yeah. It's putting the pressure on seems to have we're not seeing any count. I just haven't looked at the count.
I don't think we have any issues that are fish behavior related that we're aware of, so it's mostly just the...
Have you looked at Oregon first?
I haven't done a look back and forth. Carl, have you seen anything with fish counts on that?
No, I haven't seen anything.
It's a standard year, I think.
Carl, fish count issues, or are you we good?
Are you talking about
adult fish?
Yeah,
the regular counting booths you're talking about?
North Ladder versus South.
Yeah, we are getting a lot of Chinook on the South Oregon Ladder. Very few fish of any kind coming through the Washington Ladder. I was down there yesterday for a little while, and the fish were coming by in huge numbers. So I don't know the exact count yet, but we're getting a lot of fish through just on the Oregon side. Not much at all in Washington.
So that wouldn't suggest you had a problem with the vibrations that are out there. So okay.
Yeah, right, and that's the side the vibration would be on too. So we don't seem we have any problem getting fish through there.
Okay, thanks, Carl.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions on that? Okay, 213 is thermal spill at Goose.
Right. And, I don't see Bill here, but I don't mind entertaining a brief discussion. I did get Russ. Are you on the phone? So I think
it's,
good
morning.
Good morning.
Well, we should get into this with Bill.
Okay. Is Bill going to be here later?
I'm guessing he's going to be here later, yeah.
Okay, so let's maybe defer this to later.
Okay.
And,
shucks.
Well, Russ, I know you go to lunch at a time, so if Bill comes in, I'll try to...
Before 11.
Yeah, we'll just move it a little ways.
You bet.
Okay.
So you can move into NWP then?
Sure. We got a couple of updates for Portland. The Bradford Island Bridge repair schedule, that's coming up. You're going to draft a coordination form for that?
It's on the list.
We're just waiting to see if we're going to get recalled.
Oh, here's there Bill.
We're just giving a call.
Cool. Good timing, Bill.
Good.
We're under fish passage plan. All it said is that they will resend the FPP change form. Yes, they did that, so we'll discuss it under the...
All right, we'll discuss it then.
Thank you. Are you staying?
No, you're going to get the chair.
Okay. Sorry. So, there's just a heads up on the Bradford Island Bridge repair.
We'll get there.
JDA arc flash requirements. Zindel, you got a fish passage change form. Mural, fish passage change form for the arc flash.
Well, it's still pending at this point, and that's all I can tell you at this time.
All right.
Still pending.
So you're still working on a change form?
Right, because, but it, again, this issue, it happened only once so far, and the implication would be, even if we had to do it that way, which would be disconnecting the entire line to disconnect the unit, mm-hmm. because of the X-ray breakers issue, safety. That was a fair very couple of times during fish passage season, and it would be in the middle of the night. Duration would be very short, up to 15 minutes maximum, possibly less. Last time it was 10 minutes. So I think the impact would be minimal to begin with, but in terms of the clarification of this new procedure, it's still pending because it's an engineering issue. And they're still debating if the project engineering has informed HBC and they've been communicating.
So they don't have a procedure yet to put into the...
Yeah, it's still developing, it's still verifying what is what should be the correct interpretation of the labels.
Okay.
Because the labels are simply saying you cannot operate a mixture of breaker safely. So that's still an engineering issue, is still at this point unknown.
Okay.
Just keep it on there. All right, we'll just keep it on there for next next month. And then the last one is just the weekly reports, putting in differentials.
This one's all just fishing.
That should be identified as Bonneville.
Bonneville's weekly report.
All just fishing.
Fishing, I think, is all it was. Yeah. It says just Bonneville, right? I mean, that's what it doesn't say here.
Right.
Under 223, it just says Portland.
Is that what you wanted, Tom?
But it's
I think
just,
that was your...
Yes.
It's just
fish units. Just fish units. Fish units, basically, all we're looking for is drawdown.
Daily.
Daily drawdowns.
it, when you've basically rigged and if you've had to do basically flow trash.
Okay.
If they had to float the trash off the units.
Okay.
Those two things. Because, I mean, if this new system, this new rack is going to solve a lot of problems, we need to have some sort of verification of that. And if it doesn't, then I need to go back to the Federweek and say, doesn't look like it worked, and I need to go do a little dance at a meeting for somebody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Ben, you're going to kill me, but should we add that now that the trigger is going to be active, should that be in the weekly reports? Is there any sort of recording of what the trigger was for that week? Adult or juvenile trigger?
Well, yeah. That should be in the weekly report.
Yeah.
Trigger for that table that we're going to make?
No more tables. No, just a line saying what trigger was, that we were under.
If the trigger was.
Adult trigger.
What we hit and what we're under? Or actual fish numbers or what?
I would say the trigger's
just
been
whatever, is a bit of effect for that.
Though it might be useful to have the fish numbers and you can track them. It's not hard to add. Here's the adult numbers for April 10 to June 15 for each week.
For what they were looking at.
Here's your adult, here's your juvenile.
I'll leave those together. If you guys want any, that's great. I look at that stuff daily.
I'm not
looking back over the last week, just going to verify if I like the right numbers, I guess.
Good. You came in a little late, and we immediately approved the form from yesterday. So, just want to make sure you're good with that.
You slept on it. Didn't have second thoughts.
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a long time coming. At this point, I think Scott added some things at the end that satisfied some incremental change needs there. That certainly should be drawn out, but not something that is a problem.
Okay. Just wanted you to at least weigh in on
that. Thanks. I appreciate you bringing it up.
Okay, so let's jump to updates. 3-1, Walla Walla.
I'm wondering, before we jump, since Bill's back, do we want to just cover our last action?
Well, Tammy's telling me here.
Plan
so
items.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's under 6.
The action is just to resend the change number, which I think got done.
Okay, got it. So, updates. Carl, the mechanical screen cleaner, this is what we had a brief discussion on yesterday. Do you want to give an update?
Right, sure. We had the mechanical screen cleaner stop about a week ago. I came on to it probably within 5 minutes after it stopped, and I was able to put it in manual operation, run it through its cycle, run it back, and then stick it out automatic for 2 cycles, and it worked perfectly every time, and we haven't had a problem with it since. We've been watching it like a hawk. We have no clue. It could have been debris or something. We don't know what went haywire, but it just shows the problem of having a single brush and being fully dependent on it. The only backup for it is a bubbler system, and I tried to get the diagrams for the bubbler system, but Mark and I haven't found them yet, but we can probably do a more thorough search and eventually find it. But basically, there are 4 rows of bubblers underneath that screen, right in the rectangular brush area, that we can use, and we do use. Well, they run regularly anyway. They run about every 90 minutes or whatever. But we can and do use those and can stay on it and keep the screen pretty clean during normal times in event of a total failure of the mechanical brush. The bubblers cannot keep up with real heavy debris loads, so we are hoping to move, and this requires quite a redesign, but they're working on it, to a separate system where there are 2 mechanical rectangular brushes, probably separated by a wall or something, so if you lose one, you don't lose the whole system. And that's going through. The design people at District are working on that. I'll try to come up with a diagram of the bubbler system, but we haven't been able to find it yet. I'm sure it exists. It's just that you got to pile through about 5 or 6 drawers of heavy paperwork to find them.
It sounds like a serious issue. I'd like to make sure we're plugged into the design, if we're redesigning that and the thought process. I agree with Carl, the bubblers are good. We've used them in Bonneville, they work pretty well for the air burst, but you do need a sweep, especially for heavy debris and grassy type things that get stuck on the bars.
Basically, when or if the rectangular brush fails and we can't get it running again, we actually stick a person down there 24/7 to run the bubblers about every 30 minutes. And like I say, during normal times, that'll do it. But if you get a heavy debris load, they cannot keep up with it.
Carl, what's your frequency for running the brushes?
The brushes, the rectangular brush is running every 2 hours right now, and for the debris load we have right now, that's fine. We get heavier debris loads, we'll run it typically about once an hour. But 2 hours, the debris load really isn't too bad right now. We got a lot of stuff floating out front, but there aren't very many fines.
We saw a lot of tumbleweed in the river last week.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad. They're going to be, this month, they're going to be cleaning all of the trash racks again. They did a sample dip about a week ago and took out some tumbleweeds, but the differentials, the trash rack differentials weren't too bad. But they'll be going in, I'll find out later on today, but they'll be going in probably about the middle of this month and doing them all over again.
So the outage that you experienced, was that just a breaker that tripped out then?
The breaker didn't even, well, I'm guessing, I didn't have to reset any breakers. I was able to run it and get it going again. So I assume there was some kind of a trip out on it. But when I,
makes you wonder what stopped.
What's that?
It just makes me wonder why it stopped.
Deadline.
We haven't a clue, and it's driving us nuts. our best guess is maybe a piece of debris, but I did run it manually without raising the brush back up, and if the debris was there, it plowed right through it when I ran it.
Okay. Yeah.
But it drives us nuts because when something fails like that, that means it's going to fail again, and we haven't a clue what caused it.
Yeah,
we're just guessing.
Pretty good fish kills there over the years.
So right now, what he referred to as it's in design is actually just being scoped very preliminarily. And a year from now, they'll be going in. The hope is that in 15, they'll be doing plans and specs, and so that would be the opportunity to weigh in with ideas, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah, I hate to get too far down the road on something and not have a chance for input from our engineers, is what I'm saying. I'd like to make sure that Jeff or somebody is involved in the initial thoughts on that. I don't anticipate any problems, but just to be involved.
Well, you definitely need to be involved, and that's going to be, that would be a major redesign of that system.
Yeah, what's that? When Carl mentioned the wall, and I thought, okay, how's that going to work? So that's the sort of thing that...
I don't think a decision has been made. They're trying to develop alternatives of whether they should just rehab all the mechanical components, whether there should be some modifications to design, or whether... I mean, we even threw out a whole new design, something more like Bonneville, but we're a little bit afraid with the O&M funds, we probably wouldn't be able to support that. Anyway, that alternatives will probably be available, and maybe at that time, Carl, that should be midsummer. We can come back with a summary of the alternatives developed just for people's awareness.
Let's put that on our agenda. I guess it's O&M, so it's a... volunteer, we can have a maybe every other month type update or something like that.
Okay. Let's, if we could just focus right now, we don't expect to have any more information. It was supposed to be June, and they just told us it would be the end of July, just this week. So maybe August FPOM.
Yeah, when things could, come up, let us know. I guess that's more.
Yep.
And if there are any drawings or anything that's reviewable, that would be appreciated seeing that.
That won't be till 15.
Sure.
This will just be a cost and alternatives, recommended alternatives to make it reliable.
You just send it to your retirement community, wherever that is.
In 15? No. Oh, okay. You got a few years still.
We'll see.
Yeah, too many dead meetings are
on you harder and harder.
Those warmer climbs must be looking good.
When he goes, I'm going right behind him.
But you don't want him to take rent.
Me? Yeah. I'm watching Bill. And Bill's when I see him leave that door last time, I'm going to go right behind him.
I do need to add one.
Here alone. What do you got?
John Day oil spills.
John Day oil spills?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to 312 Granite JD John Day ESBS.
Right. So Bill asked that we put this back on. We did have 1 week of Gatewell dipping. I don't think that the results were much different than what we've seen in the past. You may recall that I had to send up a follow-up email because last year when we did this for the summer fish, which we only got 2 weeks and we had very small sample sizes, our test screens from John Day were just in slots 3B and 3, so unit 3, slots B and C. This year, for the spring, they also had one of the John Day screens in 2C, which was what we had agreed to, that we could put them in the C slots. And I didn't—they didn't let me know that until after I'd sent out the data, of course. And so then I followed up with that. But our brief discussion the last time, Bill was the main reason that we went ahead and did more gate well dipping, and so he wanted to come back to the group and see basically the polling online after I sent out the data. I think Russ gave me a thumbs up for the spring. Bill asked whether or not people were comfortable for summer fish and asked that we bring it back to the group today to talk about summer fish and whether there would likely be any difference that we would notice. So recall what we're trying to do there is just see if there's any difference in descaling rate. You know, I took a quick look again this morning before I came in, and it's kind of interesting. I think we've never been able to get anybody in hydraulics to really give us hard numbers on the differences of what we're pulling for A, B, and C. They just tell us it's more in A, less in B, less even still in C. The B slot, when you look between, and even the C slot, if you look at the data between 2 and 3, you see that there's a difference there between the C slots depending on the unit, and then the B slots often are less even than the C. And so I think we have to try to come up with what we think is a reasonable range around those descaling numbers that we would be comfortable with. At this point, we were still in the 1-2% for the most part with everything we looked at for where we had John Day screens. Every time we go to an A slot, depending on the sample size, and this is what happened last summer, we were down in the 30 fish. We ended up with something up in the 4.5. We were up pretty high, but it's a sample size. So, you know, we were in the hundreds this time. We seemed to get some pretty good results. You know, my feeling was it's always challenging to go in there in the summer in that brief time before you get a bunch of fish. And so our kind of request coming back to the group is, are we yet comfortable that we don't really think there's a problem with these new screens? When we talked about the physical changes that had taken place, we had some information that Martin Ahman, I believe, weighed in on for the project last year. We feel that they've more than compensated. In fact, these screens may be even a little better than our original screens, just from the standpoint of open area now. So, you know, just in the effort to not necessarily handle more, I guess I have to ask whether people want us to try to find time in the summer or whether we could be comfortable at this point.
No. Everything I've seen is these ones are actually doing as good, if not better, than what you currently have, so I have no problem with going forward in the summer.
Okay.
Now, if you want to start talking about modifying your other screens to be more like this, then hey, you can do that, but I don't
think
we wanted to go with all
the screens. So you have to remember, though, that now we haven't looked at a slot yet, but you're still okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's
no
great.
I've seen no indications that B and C, I wouldn't expect to go into A to see something change.
No, it should be pretty much the same. So, yeah.
I would let us know, and then at that point, then we can start monitoring to see if we see something different. But
for right now,
do you have any plans to put these in A slots?
No, but the request from the project is when a screen, and this is how it ended up in 2C, when a screen fails, these are the spares. So, as soon as we say we're okay for B and C now, these will go in B and C slots interchangeably. If they come to a point where they need a screen and this is all they have, there's going to be the question, can we throw this in A? So the request I have from the project is to work with you to see if we can't get this so that these are totally interchangeable, because I think we all have to understand that the people who actually move the screens are cranes and rigging crews, et cetera, and then there's a maintenance foreman that, you know, A, B, C doesn't really make that much difference to them, and you know, the world is very different than what we're playing in here. And so if the simpler we can make this over time, then the less concern we'll have. So if there's a need to go back and test A, I think that's where I would like to see us leave it, and then we'll work on trying to fit that in. If just to watch the sample and have WDFW tell us you know, if and when we might see elevated descaling probably isn't good enough to resolve this, because recall the last couple years as we go into late summer, we've had some elevated descaling as we get to low sample sizes again. So in a way, I'm kind of asking, do we need to put them in A and do the gate well dipping? And I'm kind of hearing reluctance that, yeah, maybe we do, and that's fine. This is the question I'm asking.
I mean, if it's relatively easy and cheap and, you know, it checks the box, then why not?
It's intensive. It's hard on fish. Okay. Yeah. I've done a lot of gate well dipping in the years, and that's a hard bill, more than I have probably.
Yeah, A looks like it has lower descaling typically than the rest of them, so we could
crap on a fish.
And why would it produce more descaling in other slots, I guess, would be my question. Well,
the screens, I think we
went through kind of the physical nature of the open spaces, and they went back and did a modification on those John Day screens, and when they did, they actually provided more open space, and so you know, that would be a place that we could have another discussion if we wanted to bring back all that background that I brought here last year. But that's really the issue when we made the change, is did we adequately compensate for what we were trying to bring in to make it, the goal was to make it like original, but what I'm saying is that I believe what they've done is they've actually enhanced it from the standpoint of the potential to, you know, entrain and or.
So, Ann, you're arguing that we should put these three in the 3A slots and then take the other ones out and make them spares.
I'm arguing that I don't know that we could notice the difference if we put them in A slots versus our original screens, and so that.
But our concern is that the A slot has more flow. These are more open spaces. They're probably better suited for the A slot than anywhere else.
Well, be careful, because more open space, if that's the case, could hot spots can be a lot higher on that for a fixed screen. So these are fixed.
These are fixed.
I'm thinking John Day's got
long ago.
Not those three. So that could be actually a worst-case scenario where you have more open space. So I was just wondering what the velocity difference really is between the existing and the John Day screens. And that might give you an idea. If you had, we're talking like a half, you know, percent or 5% or something like that, different porosity, I would say forget it. That's not going to be an issue. But if it was significantly 20%, then I would say that.
So why don't I have that as a do-out and come back? At this point, we'll just kind of be on hold that we're good for B and C. We'll try to get some more information. We can follow up.
Well, what I was going to say is, run like it is, if you end up putting one in A slot, then let's talk about doing an evaluation at that time.
Okay. Yeah.
Couldn't you also, instead of put one in A slot, put it in the B slot, take the screen out of whatever slot, and put it in the A slot?
Well, that's it. You can shuffle it.
You can always do a shuffle. Yeah, that's right.
It's
more of a thing.
It's a timing issue for the project, and remember that they're rated on unit availability, so when you take another half a day to move screens around, that's another 4 hours that their unit isn't available. So
I'll just ask one obvious, probably stupid question, but why couldn't these be just dedicated to some C and B slots, and then take some of those screens out of there, fix them up, and use the existing screens as spares? They go anywhere.
That's good.
Question.
So you have one spare old screen and one spare John Day screen.
It's just, sometimes you might have more than one go out, like, within a given time period, too. So,
you do three.
I'm okay with going back that right now we've got approval, put them in Bs and Cs. If and when we have an emergency that somebody wants to put it in an A, that we're probably going to need to do some monitoring, and we're going to have to come back and coordinate that.
Yeah. I'll take a look
at
that time.
Yeah, it's emergency, you have time.
If it's an emergency, it will just go in, okay? But you will need; they'll just need to let us know. So I think where we probably want to go, since the project has requested me to try to get this so that everybody's comfortable, is maybe we do what we tried to do this year, and next year, before we get a lot of fish, when we open up, we go ahead and put something in A and double-check this data again, because we seem to be able to get better fish numbers when we're just dipping even the top of the gate well here early spring rather than what we can do in the summer. Mm-hmm. So
because you couldn't get all the way down, if I remember right, there was something about dipping.
Well, we can go deeper. They're really hesitant to go real deep with the gate well dipping.
It's stuck. I've forgotten.
Well, they rehabbed the net last year. Well, it's concerned about getting too many fish, and then the warm temperatures as well.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
That's too many stuffed in there, and then a bunch are going to die.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, so we're better off doing it with the cooler temps.
Yeah. What I was trying to say is, if you could look at it with the data, the engineering data, you might be able to say, but you need to do that.
So I'll have the due out to bring back the engineering data again for a brief discussion.
Yeah, you may be able to just put that table and say it's not worth it.
Well, thank you all for coming today.
We waited for you.
Sorry.
We've been waiting for the fish passage plan to arrive.
So I have a due out, I guess, Tammy. Okay, that should wrap that one up.
All right. Before we do that, Dave, we already went over that change form from yesterday. Everybody gave a thumbs up. I'm assuming you're good.
We're not going to object to it. We're not going to support it. But as I said all along, we need to see that final report before we can make a final decision.
Okay. But in the meantime, you're good with
it. So there's a fence you're sitting on right now?
I'm not sitting on a fence. I said I always wanted to see that report.
Well, I'm saying
before we make a final decision.
I'm saying you're not supporting or objecting.
We don't know if it's good or bad yet. We haven't seen the report.
That's
we
can sit on the fence to get the report.
But we can no, he's holding his breath underwater.
That's why he was late. Yeah. That's only because the fence has kind of subsided a bit and flattened out.
It's a havoc.
Stuff happens.
Too many people say
drag your next.
Okay, so let's go to
313. Laura Granite. The fish pup number 3 did return to service a second time through.
You got it here. First.
It is fixed, and they put it in service, continued in service, because if we were going to put it on standby, we'd have to pull the bulkheads out and rearrange things around. So it's running. So it's done. Yeah,
now hopefully you can say the same thing about you and Levin. It's running.
Yes, so let's go right into that.
Wait. I do want to add that.
A little goose spill
yeah,
one here.
I'm just gonna, it's just spill? An update. It's not really. We got notification from the project that they're putting their spill gates on automatic control. Right now they have to manually adjust the gates according to the pattern. They're putting on GDACs, which is great. They've already run the gates through testing GDACs and via manual input, but they need to get it onto automatic control, so that requires some testing of the automatic patterns, and so it's just these brief tests. Yes. What?
Thanks. I appreciate you asking that, because I was going to.
Little goose.
Yeah, little sorry. Goose. Little did goose. I not say little goose?
Bill's baby.
I'm sorry. So,
when did they want to do it?
The spill pattern would change. No change in the spill rate, still 30%. No change in TSW. It's just a very brief duration. Spill pattern changes throughout the day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, next week, during certain hours of the day, whenever they feel like, whenever they need to.
How long are we talking?
Each test is much less than an hour, is what I've heard, very short term.
About 3 hours.
But they need to kind of go through and then go back and like look
to
make sure
right
it's
now,
all.
Numbers of yeah, fish are kind of right now. There, right about now. This is not the best time to be chucking
around. Has joined the conference.
Tail rates will be highly affected by this operation.
And I don't know why they went through our outreach coordinator and not don't ops, to be quite honest.
I like the idea. I don't like the idea.
Why do they want to put it on automatic control? Probably because they're having a hard time following the changes quick enough.
Yeah.
So in the end, you really want them to be able to do that.
I do. I just wish they'd done it like a week ago, or maybe wait a week or so.
And they might be able
next week. Because, yeah, I mean, we just had like, I think we had 425,000 spring chinook like on Monday at Granite, so had a couple days, about a week.
So ideally, what would be a good, say they need 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, what would your dream week be for that? And then I can just
say 2 weeks.
It depends on Judy's, I would say like at least I would push it back a week. At least, and then we'll take a look at if numbers start dropping back down below the 100,000 type thing at Granite, then that starts making sense. You're not going to get swamped by a bunch of fish.
Okay.
Using that swamp water data.
So, okay, I'll see if we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I want them to do this, but it's like just timing's not super ideal.
Okay, I'll let you know when it's
So, what's the benefit of this test of fish passage?
they'll be able to actually make the 30% much easier.
It will be automated.
Put it in automation.
It won't have to be manually adjusted all the time, so it'll be tuned in with the GDEX system.
So we depend on the computer to make the 30% instead of a human.
At the same time, right. There's only one operator, and he has to go out and do the NavLock work. So he's not there to make the changes all the time. And so the automated will allow that to happen. For most
it brings in the four-bay elevation and all that. Right. Yeah. So.
Same type of system, the entrances.
So will there be more wear and tear on the poles and the wires and everything? I think it's constantly moving up and down.
There's a dead band in there.
Is there a dead band?
Yeah.
It should be fine. It's just it's
there we go.
It is.
I think most of the other projects are on GDAC, so I think that's the progression is that to hopefully get them all on GDAC.
You mean the ones where our roads are all broken?
I think the snake projects are. Scott might know. Do you know which projects aren't on GDAX? Yeah, some maybe the snake projects.
Pretty nice to know.
Put it in the FPP next to it.
I think McNary.
We got into the project operator.
Yeah.
Sorry, any other questions on that? Okay, Ben, it's your monthly Unit 11 update.
It's still home.
I'm so surprised.
December.
You're still in December. They're still signaling December.
Yes.
Haven't slipped yet.
2014 is December.
December-ish.
End of December.
End of December, 2014.
Yep. It's going to be it's going to be Christmas Eve, isn't it? We have your Christmas present. Nice.
Yes.
Ben, could you tell me what units currently are not operating on?
Maybe. 11? 15?
Yeah.
13, I believe.
Jeez, that's a lot of powerhouse, too.
Not sure powerhouse one, actually.
So what's wrong with 13?
Well, you might as well get in that right now.
Well, 13 actually should be coming back, but it's... got the same issue that many of the units of ours do have, where
they don't operate.
Well, this one is kind of different in that when they see this wobble is at startup and shutdown, and it's actually pretty good when it's running. So their request was, can we run it and leave it on until it comes down for overhaul in July?
Okay.
It's fourth now. And priority.
It should be fine.
It would probably run regardless, but I wanted to see if anyone cared if it was bumped
up. Well, I mean, we set up a new priority, which would put that on towards the end of the priority yesterday.
With the trigger?
That's the trigger. So now this is on, keep this in mind, this is on the other side of 15, so this is on the higher passage zone.
Got to go at the corner collector attraction theory.
Right. Yeah, well, it does benefit. There's benefit for that.
Yeah.
But
how long is 15?
You end up with
15 is a couple more months.
Staggered tail race conditions, not the best either. If you're 18 and 13, that's a
Scott, do you know how many? Do you know what Powerhouse One's doing? Are they most?
I can find out how many units are
up. 9.
So the classic down.
But Gary, that unit priority was only going from midpoint to the upper end of 1%, right? So it could run at midpoint. Just fine, and it wouldn't have to be the first one up to upper end of 1%. So the priority doesn't.
Not quite the halfway.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah, so Gary, I'm almost thinking just from a gas standpoint, we might want to do it because if they're down one at Powerhouse One,
right.
Two at Powerhouse Two, and this could be number three.
This would be the third one at Powerhouse Two.
Yeah, that's. Be kind of I'm a fan of force.
Well, if it's taking it out of service or running it all the time, that's the choice.
Well, it's just they didn't say they're going to force it out, but the run out difference is like 5 to 10-fold between when it starts and
when it's
running speed.
Smoothly.
It's pretty dramatic.
It's highly unlikely it'll come off between now and July.
July. That's what I told him at the end. It might matter.
Should be in the summer by then. So my guess.
But like Tammy said, it shouldn't matter because we can, even if it's running at mid range, it's still running. Yeah.
Yeah, by July, though, you'll be going to full range of those units. So you'll get close to ground shot. That would be real.
That's true.
Yeah.
So
if you move it up.
Once you get into the lowest spell.
Now through June, it won't matter where it
is. Ties removal. Once you get contract ready to go.
And then it's going to go the other way.
No, so we'll put it back in. Right here.
No.
No. Make sure that we move it.
We have a contract. Really?
Yeah, that would be the problem. Yeah. Okay. We'll hear what it takes. So, yeah. If it's at that point, we just turn it off and just don't put it back on. He's probably farther down the priority list.
You assume that you're going to have other units at some point.
I'm almost at that point. In July.
Yeah, in July.
We could
have
gone off. Yeah,
we have to shut it off.
Okay. Why don't we cross that bridge in July?
Yeah.
When we get to
it. Punt to June. Mm-hmm. Punt to June, and then we'll take a look at it. Yeah, June. Okay. Take a look at it.
Gonna buy that for a dollar.
For now.
Okay.
Can be flipped.
All right, let's go to the pinniped update. I've got one from Stansel here.
Pinniped spike the same time as spring shrimp did? We go on a limb here.
It's going to get overhauled in July, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So.
I mean, how long to it?
Never mind, go ahead. Yeah, I think this is the thing here itself.
All right, I'm going to give you the pinniped update. No catches this week. Most stellars have left Bonneville. There's about 12 Californias remaining, but this is the beginning of the end. Should be filtering out next week or two. There's always going to be a couple hanging around. There's a total of 15 Californias removed this year. Predation's average for the past 12 years, likely 15 removed.
Wow. That's
what. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just about everybody who showed up.
Although a lot of them were young, new guys that were branded and then got on the list, the removal list. Predation's average for the past 12 years, second highest number of Californias here this year, but for a short period. 21 were branded so far this year at Bonneville.
Any word on the sea lions above?
No, I don't know. I think there's still three up there.
Yeah.
Or less.
That's been camping out west.
Has he gone into the...
Probably one left up there.
Are the 21 branded all California?
Yeah. Yeah, those are the new Californias they branded. So if you look at the average over the, I mean, if we're on a descending limb of the peak, so I guess the removal program's working.
Yeah.
However, stellars are still a major issue. As far as fish counts, you put in a relatively high 6,600 plus passing yesterday, peak last week of almost 18,000 in one day at Bonneville.
Dropped off. You may see we got about maybe 10 days of high passage left on, so potential.
Yeah.
About the 20th.
So we'll be hazing until the end of May.
Start nosedive.
And as you know, things are dropping off, so.
Good. Well, that's good news.
Skated through that year. 15 down.
Yeah. That's good news.
Is that like the deadline for hazing?
No. For pinniped? No, it's yeah. Yeah, there's nothing to haze.
Okay. I'm just wondering, because we're kind of running on the same permit, and our sea line is there year-round, so.
That's right.
So we can haze any time, I assume.
Hey, you know, I hear they make bow.
You could start training that sea line.
Is it on the list?
Train him to do something useful for us.
Yeah, it's certainly into that new wall.
That poor bear comes.
Get onto that new wall.
The bear wants to eat fish.
Just put a bear suit on him.
Yeah.
It's another bear on the dock.
Smoking
the seal.
Oh, gee.
I didn't say that.
Can you put some salmon on maybe like on the... You know where that bear was? Yeah. The salmon there, so if the sea lion's there, the state troops have to shoot it because they're worried about him.
Another.
So where that bear was shot, you know. Get the sea lion over there until the state troopers are, you know, he's trespassing.
all day. I'd be happy to take them on.
But I was just bringing it out. Dressing up in a grizzly suit.
All right, let's move on now. Bonneville ties, the beautiful ties sitting there.
So we're going to put them back in?
What, eight? No, they're falling apart on the project. Can we scrap them?
You need to maintain those things. What's the matter with you guys? Did you paint them?
I've been trying to save my money to replace the trundle bearing pin.
Yeah, right. That's how I keep hearing.
So yeah, scrap.
Isn't this going to be the solving for the Bonneville problem, is put the ties back in? It's going to solve their survival issue.
Yeah, that's it. We're waiting for that.
Well, they're going to...
Have you guys proved up yet?
They're going to disappear.
What?
And, you know, we can just call them goodbye. Sayonara.
Are you asking or telling?
I'm kind of telling.
So then why did you bring it up?
It's kind of like, you know...
Did you figure I'd notice if I was out there tomorrow?
Because when you drive by, you're like, this is big open space here.
Something's missing here.
Or you'll see sparks flying.
So we were talking on the way over. We were thinking you might be able to use these for the Bradford Island Bridge if you could just squeeze that and flatten them. And, you know,
structurally,
and there's grating on the top, so you can just take that grating out and reach and just...
I was thinking just throw them in the forebay for something.
Structure. Sea lion habitat?
With the tie crane.
Make a trap on
so it. The plan, Ben, right, is for the project to cut them up this summer?
Yeah, I think actually the scrap guy will cut them up.
But there's an issue with lead paint.
It's going to probably be cheaper to have him do it because of the scrap
value.
Okay.
I think they have lead paint on
them. I think he's got more open schedule.
I'm putting that in there.
So probably going to have to wait until.
Yeah.
Of course, they were using a steam crane to do it.
That's his drive away time.
That's the only reason why they're staying together is because of the lead.
A little bonfire guy?
Okay, well, I guess you're telling us, so
yeah.
What can we say? The only thing I'm going to tell you is that when you need to do something to meet performance standards because you failed, you're going to have to go out there and
cross that another failing bridge when we get to it.
It's another bridge to come to.
That's right.
Okay.
We're going, for what it's worth, that same contract will have ties. The from the old research lab was on Cascades Island, those old outflow pipes.
Where you cut your teeth there?
West of the ladder. No, I mean, they're
the young
6 foot diameter rusting. Two big water tanks, one from Bradford, one from the Oregon.
Just scrap steel.
And
in off this thing.
The SMF flow. The old.
Oh, you are.
The old, never used.
The never used, not so old aluminum with a lot of money for them.
Yeah.
So then the project will stop cutting down the trees once that plume is gone, right?
So there's a contract already to do this?
Yes.
Wow.
Scrap contract. Just keep piling stuff on there.
You're very end to let us know.
Well, yeah, we just
kind of pulled out. It sounds like you just like, whatever.
Well, no.
Send us a memo.
You want to say okay or not.
Check on the box.
We just added it to the pile.
It was originally on here because we thought the ties were within 50 feet of the fishway, but they're not. Yeah,
otherwise, it would have been just 50
feet in 3 inches. Yeah, no. No, it's time.
Yeah.
You know, my legacy is to have the ties removed, so there it is.
Here it is. Okay.
Yeah.
You're out of here, too.
Put a burn statue.
That's right. I'm going to have my face painted on the boom of the tie crane.
And melt them down and make a statue out of it.
Consider my job done here. That's how you do it. And we have a little Willamette Falls Lock steelhead salvage to talk about.
Yeah, that was interesting, though.
They just disappeared somehow.
Huh? Yeah.
I wonder what happened to them.
They're over there on the counter.
Barbecue?
They didn't really disappear. They just opened more water through there.
Yeah. Actually, no, they rescued them, two of them. It was quite a process.
You were there, weren't you?
I was not there because
it
was Andy and Chris.
So
yeah, go ahead and talk to that.
Willamette Falls is now caretaker status only for us, which means not normal operation, really
no
not
operation.
Any operation.
No operation.
So the gates, which are 7 pools, they're exercised monthly, so they're functional and not oil hazard or anything. But that opens them up to let fish in. So the question is, should we not do that at certain times? And that's what I want to feedback from that phone.
Yes, you should not do that at certain times.
What times?
When the fish are there.
More specific.
Good point.
That seems
anytime there are fish there.
Keep going. This is something useful.
On the phone.
Dates, times?
Well, I mean, I don't know how long that has changed, but that's the first time I've seen steelhead spawning in the locks.
Yeah, that was a new one.
And I don't want to think about how much lamprey you guys get in there. You guys need to figure something out.
Is this the lowest lock? That's the point of the discussion.
Ben, is this the lowest one?
No.
No, they were actually at the upper lock.
Yep, 3 and 4.
Not the most upper. There were closed gates above where they were.
Well, it was the last chamber.
No, wasn't. There's gates above that, Ed.
Yeah, I know there's a gate. There's two gates above that, but that's the last fill chamber you got. The upper thing is the canal back to the river.
But there's closed gates above it, so the point is
yes?
They can't just swim out.
Right. There's a closed gate, but it's not a lock chamber.
Okay.
So is there a proposal?
Ben, can you leave the gate open?
No.
Yeah, close the structure.
So you have to exercise those. I mean, is that something that
can be reduced? I don't think it can be eliminated.
Okay. So they may use them sometime.
I don't think there's any plan to use them really, but I think if they don't move. Stuff seems
so we should just find the right time to exercise it, like summer, base, August, July.
Nobody here's an expert, maybe Ed, on the passage timing.
Well, actually,
I mean, I can get passage information out there from Willamette Falls, but it's like every other lower ladder, there's fish moving all year.
That's the problem.
What's that?
The fall, the native fishes are going over in the spring, winter steelhead, and summer, or spring shrimp, winter steelhead, and lamprey. There are fish passing in the fall, but they're not native fish, so the impact
summer
is
run.
Not
mm-hmm.
a big deal.
So that might be setting up something along those lines.
Yeah.
Would those fish be, they wouldn't likely spawn in there anyway, because they're probably headed way up the system.
Well, like I said, there's
summer steelhead.
You see a few coho and summer steelhead, and maybe a fall shrimp or two going over, but they're not native above the falls anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually a risk factor above the falls. So everything is, I would say, from say December through July are bad times for various native fishes moving up there, and then August through November are good times for avoiding the native fish.
Just to help, is this an annual operation?
It's monthly.
It's monthly.
Sure.
So December through July, could you do it at night, at least to reduce the risk?
There's a potential we could do it not at all. Okay. I just got to go back to
the well, or
the
if you did it,
it's never been addressed.
Well, this is the first year that we've actually gone to a no operation, not even once a year operation.
Can you do this like a few times a year and not every? I mean, instead of not at all, maybe it's.
Right.
Could we come up with just a fish based time that you want to allow this?
There's a top one and a bottom one.
You guys know it's most closely to
the middle
fish run.
Right.
There.
Probably do monthly.
Can we put together timing graph?
Yeah,
I guess. Timing graph of the.
So we need a timing graph.
We can provide some data.
We'll go back to the project.
I don't know if I'm going to commit to us.
Well,
if you can give Ben that.
The
operation of the proposed operation.
And the other issue is there's those gates, the uppermost gate, for example, has, based on elevation, has automatic gates that rise, which are like a sluice gate almost, which opens up the bottom of that gate to the foredeck. So that's an automatic operation that's totally...
It's a good opportunity to put a new fish liner in.
A lot of apparatus.
Okay. change the lock into a fish ladder? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, that other ladder, you guys, this, that one's having problems. So, something to think about.
Down the road. Proposal for the next yeah, we have a lot to pay for it, but yeah, sure.
Anyway, we'll come up with a plan for it with a maintenance plan. And
need to know what people are comfortable with in opening it in terms of fish, and then what you guys are comfortable with in terms of the exercise and all that.
Yeah, I imagine the project is going to leave it. Can't use it, bro.
Fill it full of concrete.
July through December.
No, when do we want to bring it back up for us?
Next month. Okay. Just keep it on the agenda.
I'll get feedback from them on what they think is necessary.
Right. Yeah. Is it once, twice?
Okay. You per year.
I'm sure it's not monthly.
So the question I would have is, what was it before this change in your operation?
Well, boats were going through.
So yeah. So, well, what was it?
Every day.
Every day. Right. Probably. So.
I mean, fish could get through it.
Yeah, it was every day. The change is to completely opposite now, to not at all.
Right.
And I mean, is that reasonable?
There's leakage in holes. And
well, it sounds like they're going to have, what it sounds like is you're going to have to do it sometime. So what you don't want to do is get your most valuable fish trapped in there. That's the first thing. So I like Ed's idea, just fill it full of concrete.
That's nice.
Put some weirs in and call it a ladder.
Certainly enough.
But it takes money. Lots of money.
Lots of concrete.
Lots of concrete.
Lots of concrete.
We'll provide some timing data.
Or you just open the whole thing up once we're ready.
Just the only becomes a fall.
I have some issues with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably not work.
Big plan.
Yeah. Come on, that's a historic powerhouse there.
I know.
Let's see. We've got one more add-on is John Day Unit 2 Draft Tube. What's the story there for the add-on? John Day Unit 2?
Memorandum of coordination.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got a phone call. It's actually irrelevant, but we're going to do it the hard way because we just opened the draft tube door. Too many fish, as we expected, so they're going to spin the unit. They actually assess the blades. They find, initially on Monday when they were installing the tail locks, they didn't want to spin because they didn't want to introduce more oil into the river. But now it seems that that wouldn't be the case, so they're gonna spin it, and we're going to dewater the draft tube next week.
Okay, hope for the best.
When are you going to spin it?
Sorry?
When do you plan to spin it?
Before just the procedures, that's part of the procedure for the tail lock installation.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying you might give us a heads up because that's why we got the call on Pinterest.
Yeah.
Well, tribal fisherman says we're catching fish, all of a sudden we saw an oil sheen of water and sheen of oil, and all of a sudden we stopped catching fish.
But
and we're going, yeah. I haven't heard anything, and all of a sudden we get an email saying, oh, yeah, we got an oil spill. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I just noticed something yesterday. Actually, the reason you're seeing fewer fish on the Oregon side is the lack of flow. It wasn't the oil being a big factor. And it's been persisting since we lost main unit 2. Because we already had outage of main unit. We still have an ongoing outage of main unit 3. So on that side of the river, we have considerably less flow. And in fact, 2 days ago, this was the first time when it had the north ladder had significantly more fish in sight passing. So
I'm
telling, and I only realized that yesterday. I talked to one of the tribal fishermen outside, and he pointed out, and he said, "Look at the flows. The flows are much less than they used to be, and they were not catching indeed many fish on the Oregon shore."
So how long is that condition going to be going on, do you think, those 2 units out there?
I don't remember what the schedule for the unit 3 is, but 2 has to be investigated and repaired. But the fish are pushing to the north. If you look at the total, it's still in the same ballpark, except they are distributing themselves to the north.
Yeah, I'm thinking juvenile passage from the outfall.
Right, that's also in terms of that back eddy
I think that would be better called Saturday, that more significant in summer. That should be down by then. We should have flash and through it by then.
Yeah, so I just wondering, what is the protocol for when you have an oil spill reporting? Does that come to FPOM or where does that go?
Oil spill reporting, that's the National Spill Center, I think. It goes through, that's our environmental people.
You guys spill so much, you got your automated process.
Yeah, we have a national center at the division. So an oil spill gets reported up the chain, goes through the ECC, Environmental Compliance Coordinators, to Dykstra. Dykstra then sends it up to his distribution list, including headquarters. So I guess you need to get on that list.
I don't want to, but
you want to get on the list.
Tribal fishermen call up saying, "What? Where's this oil coming from?" It's like
right.
What oil? So
yeah, that's the first time.
I mean, we report everything from like as soon as there's a sheen, it gets reported. So
it goes to the state as well as EPA,
right.
Yeah. And then the state sends out a response team.
There is a central spill center. You have to notify immediately.
So what do you want for notification?
So serious. Try and tell them to get on this list. Okay.
I can't imagine how many emails that's going to be.
It will be
quite a bit.
Because there's some units every time we turn
on. How about if we get you on the Portland District list or the Walla Walla list, because then you will get all the ones from Missouri River. Yeah, because there's a lot of that.
Yeah, no surprise.
A lot of your travel.
Yeah.
What is the kind of the timeline coordination?
As soon as you see a sheen, you report it.
Instantaneous.
Yeah.
It goes out through this process.
It goes through the process within as soon as it gets identified to see what it is, and then when they can find a source and then react, and they have like within I don't know how many what the time frame is, but it's
so typically
pretty close.
You wait for a source. To report
well, you report it and put the ECC person on standby, and then they go and look at it, and then the coordination process starts. I'm not sure on which
one. I'm going to talk to you.
Right. Most of the stuff at the project is. Do you guys have any control in
it? It doesn't matter.
No, but at the project.
Oh, sure. But I mean, they don't still have us.
We'll put you on our Portland one.
Okay. Well, that's where most efficient is. That's where I'm going to get most of the calls.
Right.
The critical one.
Like.
Burn, do you know if...
So you don't worry about ours, then?
They don't do any of the fishing dams.
I think it's Dykstra. Anytime there's an oil, it goes to the Environmental Compliance Coordinator at the division through the district, so then it sends out, and I think the OPMs are on there. And
yeah,
chief
of that, one, that was missed with this one, too, because when I was talking to Ron... RPM yesterday, he was totally surprised.
Okay.
No idea. So
let me, I'll talk with Dykstra about this. Give him another duty as assigned.
Yeah. He needs more stuff to do.
I know.
Just by budgets.
Yeah. Budgets, developing himself.
That's something that you're going to make on your numbers.
All right, so we can move on from oil spills to
research.
Research. Mr. Rirosich is on the phone. What do you got for us?
A lot of people are probably aware Unit 15 went out of service, had a problem in the stator. That was the unit we installed the flow control plate in. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to test the flow control plate at the high flow we were hoping to. We are going to continue on with the testing that we scheduled for Unit 14, and we were going to test the modified VBS as well as the existing condition and get the real data from the field to validate the CFD model to be used in the further development of alternatives. Coming back to testing of Unit 15, we may have an opportunity, if it's back in time, we were scheduled for a forecast to be out for 2 to 3 months. Able to get in after the T11 outage. It was scheduled from July 21 to September 29. We might be able to get in the beginning of August. However, we won't be able to capture the high flows at that time. Another date would be beginning of October and before the T12 outage, which hasn't been, what's not on the outage schedule right now. But that will be coming down after T11. And then alternatively, if we want to capture the high flows, we can wait until the spring. It's a significant setback potentially for that alternative. And the hydraulic section is working with RCC to define our operating criteria. We'll be providing a schedule to Bonneville. I'll send out an email to Fitterwig and F. Palm as that is solidified, letting folks know what we're going to pursue in the early June time frame for the high flow testing.
So, John, you need to go above the mid-range, don't you?
Yes. Okay. That was coordinated. That was previously coordinated.
Right. Just bring it
that, that so first week of June.
We uncoordinated it, kind of.
Yes, for the flow control plate, yes. Unit 14, testing unit 14 at high flows, we will continue to pursue.
Any questions for John?
Nope. He's not allowed to pick my lottery tickets anymore.
Excuse me?
You're not allowed to pick my lottery tickets. You're unlucky.
No, you just picked
the lottery. Yeah, you can say that again.
You're unlucky.
Thank you.
Sure. The RCC update.
Wait, Brian, I have one.
Whoop.
Howard?
Howard?
Howard? Do you want to bring up your proposal?
I wasn't planning on it.
Okay.
I might just do one mention that's while we were sitting here, there's an MFR that's going to go out. They had a mortality with the research project at the Lord Granite last night of roughly 100 fish, tagged fish. So this is Mr. Trachtenberg's study. So just an awareness thing for folks.
Sweet.
Kind of a slap in the face.
Wake up.
More to come.
Awesome.
All right. RCC.
Okay. The most controversial part of the agenda.
It is.
No. There's an office pool going on about this.
We're going to argue.
Really? All right. Could I get a kickback? I can make it whatever you want.
Yeah. You want to be lucky? We can make you lucky. I'll call you lucky boy.
Are you feeling lucky?
Yeah. Not very.
Okay. Starting
you
at granite.
Stay up all night just to get lucky.
Over.
He's 50 and he's like busting out his head.
Yeah. Ever since the Olympics, I can't get it out of my head.
Olympics?
Yeah.
He's that's riding the wave at the top. He knows it's all downhill from here.
The yeah. Russian police choir singing this song.
Oh,
God.
You gotta get lucky.
Oh, you gotta find that.
Yeah.
It's almost as good as. It's what's the term you use?
Mayhem.
It was mayhem.
Okay. Well,
you got to YouTube it.
Maybe we can pull it up for folks later. So starting at Lower Granite yesterday, average inflow of 93 KCFS, forecasted 5 days out at 86, and then 10 days up to 100. And I do have more detailed forecast for Goose, too, if folks want to know about that. But McNary yesterday, average 280, 5 days right around the same, 279. 10 days out to 301. Bonneville yesterday averaged 307. 5 day forecast 296. And 10 day forecast up to 315. So it looks like it drops down a little bit and then picks right back up.
I'm surprised to see that. I guess it's supposed to get warm.
Yeah, so for Goose, in terms of the spillway, Goose is supposed to stay above the 85. There's a brief 3 day period around May 12th, 13th, 14th, where it could go down below 85, but then it pops right back up. So the Goose spillway will remain in the low crest at this time.
Switch it out, that'd be the thing to do.
No, we need it 5 days.
We're going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Cool. Actually, that's Friday. You don't work on Fridays.
Special crew.
Is there anybody giving lamprey updates?
I have 11 problems, sorry, but I can just
add them. Directly from it.
Okay. Do you want to give them real quick? Is there any update to give on lamprey?
The Bonneville stuff is moving forward.
Good.
Nice.
There you go. It's all written down in here. The minutes will be detailed.
I think the only update, we're still, and this is FPP related, we're still looking for new operations guidelines for our new entrance at McNary. So my understanding is that's still being worked via Mr. Junkie. So we'll try to get an update on when that's coming.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the McNary.
Yeah, well, McNary entrance, South Shore there.
Not the vibration.
No, they said the vibration now that it's in, they added compression. Or were they,
because they've opened it.
No, they
the same
they put more pressure on it, and so the vibration is reduced, but they're still doing some human safety issues, and so Carl was going to come back again. He gave an update earlier, and I think he was going to give another update next month.
So when was it supposed to open?
It generally doesn't open until early June.
Early June, yeah.
So, Tammy, is your notes going to have updates on accounts for Labyrinth?
No.
Okay.
We're going to put them in there.
The counters are being installed, but as far as the actual counts, Nathan didn't give me those.
Okay.
You need them?
Washington,
Charlotte. No, there's just been some talk about trying to, where we can have a spot so people can actually find the Labyrinth information.
Should be on. It's on the course. So.
Yeah, it's on the.
I know they're trying to get all of it because you've got the different sources, all the different sources, and trying to get them so they can have. How can we get find spots so we can actually know how many fish are passing and that kind of stuff? So people have been asking questions. I said I'll find out where the plan is if there is one, and I'm going to pass it over to McElroy to let him fuss with it.
You can have him work with the stencil.
Well, the thing that's not as consolidated as it might be is the nighttime and daytime, and that's not anything I don't think that real time we can work on. That can be a long term something to maybe see what we can do, but I know for Granite that made a big difference in the number of counts last year when we added in the nighttime.
Yeah, and the FFU is looking into a way to get more real time counters, and there's optical and pressure switches, so there's a bunch of different things going in this year.
Okay. Automatic smokers.
Motion detector, camera type of count.
Counts in the bigger leads.
So that's all I know of for Lamprey. And Avian, I don't think there's an update for Avian. You got one?
Sprinkler is working at McNary. They got it functional the 29th, and it has continued to work. So that was down probably, I think, I don't know, Carl, if you ever put out an MFR on that, but they were having some problems with seals in the pump. But about the time they got the performance standard releases started, this has been functional since then.
Yeah, hope so. How many dollars have we spent on that thing since?
Wow.
I think Ryan told me it's going into millions.
Now it's moved so it can't wash away, but it used to work before it washed away.
Yeah.
And ever since you replaced it, it's a... Hopefully it's functional. Hopefully it stays functional.
One thing I would like is an update on the status of our project-by-project plans for AVM deterrent.
We still need to set up a subcommittee meeting. And so just for people's awareness, Ken Fone is now our Ice Harbor project bio. He's going to be replacing Mark Plummer. But prior to, and that just took place this
Plummer
week.
Plummer retiring?
Plummer's retiring.
Yeah.
But Ken, prior to leaving, did draft out these plans. He's, I believe, interacted with all of the project bios. So we're pretty much ready to have that meeting. We just need to pick a time and then work through.
I'd like to see it happen fairly soon, just to get that buttoned up before the season starts big time. I mean, it already started, obviously, but gull predation, I think, is just on the upswing right now. So we're not quite into the main season yet. Although we're really close, like weeks. So about next Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Holy
shit! Really?
We don't need FPAC.
Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
No, if FPAC said we're still going at 1 o'clock, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's a 9 o'clock
it's
meeting.
It's a 9 o'clocker usually, unless some change.
That's my one day in the next month. That's it. That's
13.
My day.
Tuesday is your only day.
That's my day.
Are you going to Tucson, aren't you?
I am going to Tucson.
I don't know. I'll have to check. My calendar isn't working.
Okay.
Nice move.
Fake calendar.
Puts you on the spot and you use that one. Huh? Okay. Mine works just fine.
Where would you want to have it, Jerry? Flexible, I mean, can we meet in the middle somewhere?
Sure.
John Day? Yeah.
John Day would work maybe to get folks, although we're going to...
I can just stay up there overnight.
We're going to have a hard time getting our bios, so an afternoon meeting probably would be better.
Or we could do it via phone.
Yeah, phone is...
I think we're far enough along that we can do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it via conference call.
Did Ken send out the information a week ago?
I haven't seen anything, but I've got a lot of emails.
Okay.
I have updated avian plans about the posting. I can send out if you want.
Yeah, that'd be great if you wouldn't mind either the post sending the link or sending it out to folks so they all have it to review before we have a call.
Yeah, please. That would be very...
And so 1 o'clock Tuesday, tentatively a call.
Okay.
Sure.
What's that?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
1 o'clock next 1 o'clock, Tuesday will be a teleconference.
That's it. Well, is that okay?
I don't know, but it's okay until everybody checks.
What would be okay?
No time.
Wednesday.
No time.
I do have Wednesday is possible.
Wednesday's usually better because you just get out TMT, so sorry.
What's the date next Tuesday?
Right. Tuesday's the 13th.
I know. You should be happy.
Yeah, 14th would work. It does work.
It won't work for Tammy and I.
Anytime.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Usually Wednesday at 1 o'clock?
Anytime. Wednesday. I mean, I got a 9 o'clock, but I can skip it. So.
Well, I'd say Wednesday at 1 o'clock. That way I can still get a TMT and be super excited. And then do 1 o'clock Wednesday?
If that works for...
Does that work for the core?
No. Not for...
Well, not if you need me there. If you don't need me there, don't worry about it.
We had an all-day thing.
So Tuesday works for you guys, or it doesn't work for you?
It works.
For a call?
I'd rather have you Tuesday before TMT than after TMT on Wednesday.
He does tend to get a little grumpy after TMT.
I get grumpier after, so.
I'll be grumpier. We do know that.
1 o'clock Tuesday.
Grumpier, that's...
We'll send out something.
That's my predicate on
it.
He's always grumpy, but
you send it out.
Well, I guess I'll include it's conference call.
Yeah, the sooner we get the plans out, the better, so that I can look at them and say, yeah, I'm good with it or not.
So tomorrow, Monday, we look at Monday. So Friday or
Monday. I can do it while I'm out of monitor and walking around. So he was just going to coordinate.
Tuesday, 1 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Because then we'll have information headed for the FPP change forms, right, Gary? That's where you're... I'll just talk to myself for a while. Let's not have a meeting.
So it's 1 o'clock Tuesday the 13th, conference call. And who's going to send that out? You?
I just did.
I think Tammy did because she has gotten drafted and assembled. And then what we'll do, I think our path forward after we talk about it is if there's no revisions necessary, we're kind of ready to move to FPP forms.
We'll put it in and that's the appendix.
That'll be our start.
And then we can work on them as the years go by, you know, things will change.
Get some high flow.
Get something in there that everybody can sort of...
All right, let's keep going. 3-7 is going to be in June, a presentation. BPA updates.
Lights are on.
The lights are on.
No transmission.
So 4 is kind of a discussion that I think we might want to wait until the bottom.
Are we allowed to talk about this? You get set up.
I mean, I don't know. Doug, you want to talk about it right now? I don't want to suck up a bunch of time on this whole REOG FOP thing.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about it.
Let's go through the whole history of
it.
Anybody seen it?
Yeah. They don't got a copy.
All right, the only thing I'm going to say is I took it back to my REOG rep, and I sent an email because I couldn't get a face-to-face or a phone call, and asked him the question, and you addressed your concerns from the last F-bomb, and then something happened since then where I...
So did a large stone land on your head?
It did after that. Every electronic gizmo I had was going off. Pockets, zing, zing, zing.
Rocks fist coming at you.
We have a good voicemail, too, I'm saving for his retirement. Anyway,
the volume.
As far as right now, the FOP is a REOG document, is all I can tell you.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know what's the plan next year, but right now, this FOP's a REOG document.
Well, and I think the only update is we did try, and Dave's out of the room, for the questions and places where he had issues, we did try to get clarification so that the stuff that really wasn't well resolved in the spring hopefully will be there to be satisfaction for the summer.
REOG's not
as
technical.
Yes. Well, I think we were missing appropriate disclosure in the spring. It just kind of got slammed in there. I think that with some transparency, we can minimize some of the problems.
You can talk to your REOG rep. Yeah. Your input there.
That was.
Who's your REOG rep?
Right on. That's great.
Is you?
I am the tech rep, and then Chris Galletti, who's on maternity leave, is our normal rep. So
oh, she is. Okay.
Yeah. So I think I'm just going to send her with her kid in next time to do some babysitting. Get something useful out of REOG.
So, Doug, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I mean, we can go down. I think you summarized it as clear as can be. I mean, talk to your REOG rep. I mean, it's really what I keep hearing. I mean, I'd love to elaborate and get people all spun up on how
I don't want you to do that.
Make additional steps to keep people perpetually disappointed, but I won't.
Save that for TMT.
That's your other job.
That's TMT.
Put on that hat. The TMT hat.
I just feel like it's a... I think what I'm hearing from our folks is it's really important for folks to establish the pathways of communication with your REOG rep.
I'll talk to myself.
And,
Okay.
Yeah, so Tammy, if you could just write down that Oregon's disappointed with this particular topic and leave it at that. For now, that would be enough, I suppose, rather than go into the long dialogue.
Okay.
I think you should have a picture that you just put off to have this really disappointing things about me.
It doesn't look much different than my usual face.
He's a grumpy cat. Or
the grumpy cat? Is that what
you said?
All right. You seen Grumpy Cat?
I don't know what that is, so if you could send it to me.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
We at Halloween we have voting fingers usually.
Oh, nice!
You can vote with your finger and then eat it too.
Eat it too, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to the coordination forms.
One second, sorry.
One second.
I got an update. Oh, Tom's
here.
So I got an update back from. So Little Goose was coordinating with their outage coordinator to do this spill gate test, and I asked them to push it to next week, and he said they've already got HDC coming scheduled. They've got a lot of work planned subsequent to that, so next week is the time they have to do it. I don't know if as far as flexibility during the hours of the day. But they seem to think it's going to be such brief little changes in the spill gates that
incremental brief changes.
They weren't even, it didn't even rise to the level that they went through their normal route of coordination. I think they kind of mentioned it offhand. Now it's here. So I don't know how
so
the flexibility.
They must think it is. They didn't. What she's saying is they didn't come to ops. They just went straight to RCC.
So it's Doug's fault.
It is.
RCC. Yeah. I just heard about it offhand. Like he just.
Yeah, to Don Faulkner, they just went sent us a teletype.
So, I mean, and I think Marcus Smith is, you know, he's called in here. He knows the level.
So, midday?
So.
For juveniles? Just don't do it morning and dusk, I guess. Be the worst times.
Well, where's the Dio passage data that
we don't have?
Wait on that until after the fact.
Mm-hmm. She's got it in her book.
Yeah, it's in the FPP.
It's in the FPP.
Oh, for juveniles?
Yeah.
That's for adults.
It's for adults.
Right. Juveniles.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, juvenile stuff. I mean, John,
when did they bump
the
spill up to 35%?
Well, they probably will be.
There's a recommendation
to
right
compensate for the...
So as late in the day as possible? Is that
they want it like midday to early afternoon, I think is what they're saying.
It's probably like 2-ish. Anytime after like... 1 o'clock, because if you do mess up the tail race from adult standpoint, most adults will be through.
Right.
Juveniles, we have no clue on when the good time for juveniles is.
I don't know what it is.
They're moving around the block pretty much.
Yeah.
So the schedule that he sent me Tuesday was from 1300, so 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. So that one's good. Okay. Wednesday they had a 10-hour block, 7 to 7 or 7, 0700 to 1700, so 7 to 5. And I mean, they could push it back. They can do it, you know. And then on Thursday, it's 7 to noon. I don't know why they have a 5-hour block.
So
you
want to go home.
Right. Yeah, that's probably it. Well, that's... Yeah.
So there, I guess the response we're hearing is please push it off to the afternoon.
Right.
Into the,
if they can.
But now, if they push it... If they were already going all day for 10 hours, then you're going to go through that dial at night otherwise.
You get another 5-hour day. It's going to take that long.
And these times, they said, if things go well, they might not need all of these hours. They're just, this is like a big blanket request. So anyway, I can just tell them to push it.
You tell them what to do.
I'm sure I think what's worse is 2 days impact or 1 day impact. Just longer time. I don't think, honestly, now it's...
Yeah. And the 35% spill would be helpful.
The spill quantity will stay the same.
It's going to spill the same.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, what you have is the bulk spill over the TSW and a lot of little spills, like 1 and 2 stops as you go across anyway with 30%. So it really should be fairly minimal in terms of what you'll notice in the tail race. It's probably
He said he wouldn't even be able to tell by looking at the hourlies with the patterns. I mean, really, because it's going to be so, it's going to be within, you know, such small increments that the hourly averages wouldn't be really
so it's not even enough that if we had an adult problem that it would help remedy it by changing the operation.
No, I don't know.
It's not going to precipitate an adult problem. It's just, it's messing with the juvenile pattern. Bump it up to 35% at night to compensate for messing it up during the day.
As long as I go to 25 during the day.
They probably will.
They probably won't, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it'll maintain the 30% throughout, so.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any change to spill.
They'll just be shifting it a little bit across where it's flat, so that you might have some little peaks that are a little bit less than flat below a spill day.
So we're requesting a small incremental improvement or benefit of juvenile passage. That's all. It seems rational and reasonable to do that and add it to this.
Yeah, I don't think that there's no reduction in spills. So, and
they're messing with the spill pattern.
There's no punitive penalty either.
That's normal.
It's not punitive. It's just
talking about
biological.
Bill, within reason, I mean, we mess with the patterns every hour when it changes. I mean, that is the default, and so I think what the Corps is trying to articulate is we think that there will be some adjustments, but they're not going to be outside the scope of what we already do, and so it's not going to be observable. So it sounds like we just had some miscommunication in the disclosure process, and we were
We weren't supposed to disclose this.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Is there,
I would agree that there was some...
went through some different pathways.
Right.
And that's unfortunate. I think what I'm hearing is it should be a within-hour change. It's not observable, and therefore we're going from manual to automatic. And so is that correct in that?
Yep, yeah.
So we're just trying to be transparent. I think we were here today to negotiate.
Yeah, that's exactly it,
this special office just to have an informational...
I wasn't even clear.
I thought you wanted my comment.
No, okay.
Well, I guess I was under the understanding that they might have some flexibility in the timing, so I asked Don about pushing it to next week, and the answer was apparently they are locked into the dates. So
I'm just trying to be risk averse. You start messing with your tail race pattern, you don't know what that's going to be, and you have a slug of fish there, possibly a peak. That's usually not the time we like to be taking risks.
Never.
And I'll make sure to provide some feedback to Mark Smith and Don.
Just not paying attention.
Anytime it's a change in anything regarding the spill pattern, that maybe if we would have had enough heads up, we could have pushed it out to next week and not have any. But
I think a lot of what you're getting is the fact that it's raining during the peak.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the highest days of the year. It's not
your best time.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, this should have been done prior to the fish migration.
Right. Yeah. Or at least off.
Well, they've been working on the installation throughout. I mean, this is a process. They couldn't do it sooner than now, apparently, because of the way that
you could still move days, days here, days there, and that's the issue that Tom's got, I think, is it's right on top. Just happens to be the highest
passage.
I don't think, actually, I'm not sure I agree with it. It's the highest passage. I mean, one of the discussions that has been taking place in other forums is that we're likely just past it already at Granite, which means a week from now we'll be past it at Goose as well. Mm-hmm. So I think you guys are overplaying this a little.
Well, no, if your peak's at Granite, it takes about 5-6 days to get down to Goose. And your depends on flows and travel.
It's usually
normal,
3 days.
3 to 5 days. Okay, so you're going to be right at the potentially backside
of the peak.
The peak
is Monday.
My point is, you're at the peak. There's a peak. You're pretty damn close to it when you're making this operational change. That's
you're certainly
not
at the wall. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, and my point is, that's when we would be least wanting to make operational change.
I don't think you would go back otherwise. So, I mean, that's the whole point.
Predictive tools and retrospective analysis here. I mean, what are we going to say? Really?
Yeah, it's a minor impact normally.
Hopefully,
it wouldn't even be on the radar screen. You're right.
It's just if we had our drugs,
the fact that it's
really
right there at that.
Take the risk.
No, yeah,
that's the issue.
Disappointing.
Yeah. Again.
Grumpy cat.
Uh oh, he puts the face up again. Yeah. It's like we hear you.
We're not thrilled about it either.
The message is that it's more of a tell than an ask, is kind of what's going on a little bit.
So it's like when I get told I'm going to my in-laws for dinner. All right. I was hoping if I went to the bathroom and came back, this would be resolved so I can move on.
Well, you're an old man. That should have taken a while.
I got an old man bladder.
Closed, huh?
Yeah.
And that's right. Yesterday, too.
That's right. We do adjust the spill patterns every hour based on changes in project head and everything. I mean, this happens. This is anything different.
You're following a spill pattern. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is going to be outside your spill pattern, so you're not going to be doing exactly what you want to do. So it's a risk.
If I
had a choice, I would have said don't do it right now. But it sounds like we don't have a choice, so you're going to do it.
Maybe
so
we're going to find that pattern that actually is.
But remembering what our patterns at Little Goose look like, there's just a lot of ones and twos. So as we switch it,
what are we arguing? 35%.
I think as we see
we're arguing delaying notification.
All right.
About the fact
I understand.
Told something.
Do you guys want any update next week when it's all said and done? Do you want any update as to like the duration and all of that, or do you just want to forget this ever happened? I can provide an update.
I'd like an update next week on how long it took, and then let's move on.
Okay. On daily conference calls?
The duration.
Update to the group.
Okay. Yes.
For the group's benefit.
I'll just update my Twitter.
I'm really interested in this.
Burn.
Here, you can have this.
Twitter. I don't Twitter. You can Twitter it out.
Yes, I'm going to.
So we're moving on to coordination forms.
Thank you.
Yes, we're on to coordination forms.
Okay, so the first one is the Arse Harbor OG modification. Folks will recall that we had both Jack Sands and Eric here last month. One of the feedback that they got that they took back and reviewed was directly from Trevor, where he suggested that if they moved all the work back till 6 p.m. start, that would be found suitable. That's what they've done in this coordination form that's been brought forward again, and so hopefully this is something that nobody has an issue with, but I guess we'd like to hear if anybody does.
Well, we also made the recommendation about changing the unit priority.
Yeah, I didn't see that in there. That was the only thing, just to take, because 6 is like number 3 in the priority during that period, and you should probably move that to last and go to like unit 4,
yeah,
or even, I don't know, about 2, but run 2, but yeah.
This would be August, late season. It's through October 12th, so it's September 15th through October 12th.
Yeah, you just have one or two on.
Yeah, where you just have a couple units
and
on.
Even through the October period, you'd want to run, you know, 6 last probably. Yeah.
So let's get straight the guidance that you want to see written in here.
You just want to prioritize towards the south as much as you can, so you're not drawing fish over near where the work's going to be.
Okay. Got it.
Other than that, yeah, we're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any switching needed on that unit with their Scott, you don't think? So they could do it that way. Yeah. All right, good. Because that's the only concern.
Ice Harbor.
Okay, I'll add that.
Is usually 1-3-6-4-2-5, so you'd want to see it be something like 1-3 would be okay, and then instead of going to 6, you'd go to 2 or 4. But most likely we don't have any issues because we're probably only running 2 units.
Anyways.
Yeah, correct.
You can't run single on 2.
Yeah, you can't run.
Yeah.
Wait
a minute.
1-3-4.
Okay, we can move on from this burn to the next one.
Next one's Dells.
Dells, you've got two of them here. EFL, AWS excavation and flows.
Did we touch on that last set poem?
Yes. You briefly talked about
Okay, we just need a decision.
We'll do it today.
This is an out-of-water excavation, right? That's more than 50 feet from...
Right.
So
this has to do with the backup system that they want to put in. They need to do some test digs where the pipe is going to go, and they are within 50 feet of the ladder. And they do a test dig, and then when they hit hard pan or they hit rock, then they put the rock, they take the rock chipper out.
So the only concern that Oregon had was that the timing's pretty much on top of the sturgeon spawning time. So uncertain whether you could move it back a month.
The sturgeon spawning.
Yeah, sturgeon spawn about the time you're talking about doing this. So.
What is in the ladder?
Where do they do it?
It's just a concern that's been raised.
Is the coldest up? Right? Is that coldest up?
Is the where is the? I guess where is the sturgeon spawning concern? Is that in the
It's
culvert?
That they do it.
No, yeah. But
that's the concern. That's not so much about
location.
Right.
It's just about
So about it's just it was something that's been asked and addressed.
I just wonder whether they think that the sturgeon might be passing or using the ladder, or is it that
the sturgeon
might be spawning in the cul-de-sac and they're worried the noise from this might disturb the spawning?
So it's distance from the river.
Okay. How far are you from the river? Quite a ways?
It's the noise.
Can you throw a rock and hit?
Potentially.
Probably 100 feet from the shoreline of the cul-de-sac, but there is the approach channel from the fish lock is between where they're doing that digging and the river. Yes.
So the only question really is the time that you have proposed right now adjustable to be a little later? That's all I'm asking you.
You know, this is really minimal impact. You know, we're talking about sinking a backhoe bucket 8 to 12 feet. That should take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then a little bit of rock break up at the when we get to the bedrock with 5 to 10 minutes.
I appreciate the incremental small duration comment, but I'm just asking a question about restriction on when you do it. Is it set in stone you have to do it on the date that's there now, or can you move it to a little later?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of flexibility they have. John, do you know?
Well, this is for the plans and specs development for installing the pipe. You know, we're trying our best to get on the backside of the Spring Chinook run here, so we're already delaying. I mean, we can continue to delay, but I think it's going to hurt the project if we continue to do that. Do you have any suggestions on how much more delay?
What about first week of June?
June?
That's not too much more delay.
I think they were looking at June anyways.
Well, it's late May is what was said here.
It's late May, So that would be greatly appreciated if you could move it just a little later. Mm-hmm.
A little later into June? Okay.
Yeah, you can see it first week of June. That would be less impact to salmon, too.
John, I think you said first week of June, not super late in June. Were you fine with
the
first week?
Yeah, first week we can take that 40.
I'm not interested in derailing anything. I'm asking a question about that.
Yeah, we're saying so like first of June or 3?
Yeah.
We don't have a problem.
No, Bob says okay.
Yeah, John's the guy.
Right.
I'm having trouble hearing Bob back there.
He said it's up to you. Week of June 1st is fine with him.
We'll take that back to the PM and the PDT, and we'll see if we can make that work.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second, though. I want to know a little bit about that second operation that you're doing. The first one's well-defined in here. It's about 30 minutes, and you're going to be doing some pretty loud work there, it sounds like. But that second one, I was having trouble trying to figure out what that was about. It sounds like a pressure. One.
Do you mean the second location?
Yeah, it says the second location. There's two different, there's one that you're digging. The second one, they're talking about two test pits, a very large excavator, something about a small plate, pushing a small plate to create correlations of pressure. The heck is that? I'm having trouble understanding what that is. And that I need to know that to understand or get some idea of what the fish impact might be, if any. You said that there's going to be vibration recording equipment out there to monitor this, which tells me that it's going to be potentially noisy, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they need to understand vibration for the larger construction.
Oh, so they're testing...
They're testing for
fish, but for the construction.
Correct. Yeah. Oh. This is for the larger construction when we get to the point where we're starting the major excavation to install the pipe.
This is like prospecting for oil where they do the little.
But we will have some vibration monitoring at the junction pool. Correct. That's the last I understood.
Yes, they were planning to put vibration monitoring equipment around. I don't know if that is something that we could use to make real-time management decisions.
I don't think so.
It's just to collect some information.
Actually, what I really want to know is how long is that going to go on? You've got 30 minutes in the first digging I don't know. Is this all within 30 minutes, or is this an hour long, or are we talking 3 hours? What? That's what I was just trying to get at, the duration of the entire effort. We're talking 2 to 4 days, so it's got to be more than 30 minutes.
Yeah, the length of time for the contractor to be there, for setting up and getting everything ready is, we have it set for 2 to 4 days, but yeah, digging, sinking it through the fill material and down to get to the bedrock, that's going to be much shorter duration.
Okay.
I would expect that this would be 30 to 60 minutes per hole.
Okay. So we're talking about an overall couple hours of activity here.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And we're talking about doing it the first week of June, if possible.
First week of June, if possible,
and
later in the day.
Doing it at what time of day?
Well, we were talking about doing it later in the day. We could have, we have some staffing limitations. We have to have our engineers present, as well as, our cultural resources point of contact, during the dig. They have to be present during the dig.
So when you say later in the day, are you talking like 10 o'clock, or are you talking like 2 o'clock?
Oh, I think we had it outlined in the MOC here. Let me take a look.
I'm not seeing it.
We didn't have anything on. Early afternoon, noon to 1500.
I'm fine.
Okay, so that's what you're saying. I see it in there. That's okay.
Okay.
We almost need to. I wish I had more time.
Did I hear? But
I'm just grumbling about the fact that there's so much stuff in here. I'm trying to dig out the pertinent points that I'm
Gary's
looking
saying
for.
Your font size was too small, he can't read it.
A lot of stuff here, and I'm under the gun. I got a lot of stuff to do, so it's hard to...
Because he's going to Tucson.
...hone in on the... Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to hone in on the pertinent pieces of information, but...
John, I was fine with this one.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay. As far as the monitoring thing, thought was at least we will have some information on what we're seeing at the ladder, because at this point we have, it's a total guess.
Yeah, you're not going to
see. They start chipping rock.
That's what I assumed it was for, but I'm glad Gary asked a question to get a verification of what the vibration. I thought they were going to be like, okay, they're going to check in when they're digging juicy problems of ladders when they do the real coring.
Right.
Some idea what to expect.
Right. Yeah. It sounds more like the vibration was more for something else.
Yeah. It sounds like right to me right now. So now I'm asking, where is the vibration being measured? Is it only in the ladder? Is it in the concrete structure? Is it
you're planning
in
on
the tail race? Where's
it's
the,
gonna be right at the junction pool.
Yeah.
Right at the junction pool.
The concrete of the junction pool wall.
Okay.
Not that's, down by water level but up on deck.
Yeah.
That's,
so it's
that's
right. That's good. Yeah. So that's, and then you're working under the ladder too. Or you're thinking about that. That's about the count window.
Yeah. The one, the other one is like 40 feet vertical.
Directly under the count area there. I don't know if you're planning on looking at that or not. I don't think you'll have a problem with that. But
yeah, we weren't. Our biggest concern was junction pool.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. At that time of the year, full salmon, I'm just not worried about it. Yeah. So if you wait that extra 2 weeks, I think that's good.
Yeah.
For a week or two.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
And if you're doing it noon or on, that's fine.
So, okay. Did you catch all that, John?
Yes. I eat okay.
Noon to 1500. Okay.
So yields on AWS.
Yeah. Yeah.
So John, if that doesn't work, get back to us.
Yeah. No, we'll take that to the geotechs and the okay. PM and.
Yeah, if they can do it the first week there, that would be good.
Okay. So the next one is also
right under the the fish ladder.
Yeah.
At the east ladder comes up, turns, goes up.
Right.
It's right in that area under
that
where the ladder
the
goes up.
Where you drive a car,
there's a parking lot there.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not in the water.
No. It's on.
It's just within 50 feet of a fishway. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're getting an idea of what they're going to be coring into when they do the
big dig.
Yeah. Okay.
Big
dig. Yeah.
When they get rid of the Dalles Dam wall, once
yeah.
it's possible.
Drive that through the western.
Right.
Drive right over the
wall through.
Stick your finger here.
Yeah.
Oops.
Hey, I like how we're saying that.
So you're not going to be around where they're doing the real just drilling, are you, Bob?
No, I'm taking that day off.
I'll be upstream.
It's the mob. Yeah, below mob. Well, the falls will come back. The tribe will be great. Go fishing again.
So the next one is the BRZ flows that go with that AWS work.
So another part to prepping for this, putting in this backup system is they need where the caisson is going in the core bay, they need to get a good handle on flows up there. There's going to be a lot of dive work and a lot of equipment out there, so they need to do ADCP by boat out there and do quite a few transects right out in front of the exit. Most of the transect area is outside of a 100-foot boundary, but a lot of it does fall inside as well. And then that's laid out in the coordination form about the amount of time. And it was 1 to 2, they figured 1 to 2.5 hours total time.
4 to 6 hours per day, 2 days, two different powerhouse operations.
So, yeah, so there was the issue of being within 100 feet of the exit for a period of time with the boat operations, and there was also a request to change powerhouse flows from east loading to west loading to east loading to see how that affects flows out there in case they need to use this during construction.
Okay. So I guess what I would say, you're talking June, so that's good. That's pick a low point in the passage. Is there any flexibility, John, on this within June? Or are you just saying 2 days in June and you don't know when?
Tammy and Cordy have been working on this one much more than I have.
It's Tammy's fault. Okay. We're looking at it right now.
We're waiting for the redraft version.
What? Okay, so it's in June. It is low passage time, typically. I would suggest doing it early in the day when fishway exit times are usually your exit numbers are usually low.
Fish haven't gotten there yet.
That's just a general understanding. I don't know if you guys didn't put that in here, but I would assume that,
yeah,
as you're entering it in the early morning and not exiting early in the morning, so typically.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to look at the diagram.
Well, okay, we'll pick that. Six to low exit time.
It would be before 0600.
Our numbers are based on passage through the count window, which would be this one, not the cat entrance.
Correct.
So we want to look at that.
Correct.
And pick that low point. And then the ITS,
can we go back to that one again?
Yep.
So would it be acceptable then if they, within that 100-foot boundary, let's say they do those transects before 0600 and then after that?
Yeah. Pick your...
I say do those first. Basically, first thing, once they navigate in, do right next to the ladder first and then work your way out.
Yeah, just try to get away from the exit times. And then the ice and trash sluiceway, if you're going to shift the loading to west end, that going to affect sluiceway operations?
I talked to Fenton on that, and he didn't have a major concern with that.
No,
the only thing is just move one of the gates from 1 forward to 18, so we have to work on 18.
Okay.
When we have east loading.
When you have east loading, right? We're talking about west loading, aren't you, on this?
Well, they want a west and an east loading, so normally we kind of run on a west anyway.
Yeah. I thought they were just working on that end.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that.
So that's the easy one. Yeah.
Is that in here?
Yep.
Sorry, I missed it.
It's at the bottom of page one.
That was just nice.
So you're really just comparing normal ops to this east op.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good for the
first. Not on the first survey, the June survey. Mm-hmm. There's two surveys, one for June and one for... August or November.
Right, and that's what I'm talking about next.
So that doing that east loading is only for that second one.
Then I was talking about that, thinking, August is not a good time to be doing stuff out there in that full bay, because maybe if it's early August, but not late August. Absolutely.
Right.
Late August.
Right, and that's why they threw August in there, because I told her that's an opportunity. Usually that first week of August, and now we're doing our fishway grading inspection.
Right, it's a low point. It's a low point.
There might be a window of opportunity there where it looks better.
If they can hit that, but definitely not. So I wouldn't say August. I would say first week or so of August only.
Yeah.
Or then November.
Okay.
And if it's in November, then I don't have a concern about your sluice.
Yep.
Right.
So,
and if it's August, then we'll do the...
We have to do the switch.
We'll do the switch with the 18.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that'll work.
So it's up to you guys. So. Gives you a couple options.
Right. Yeah.
To work with those. But,
all right, good.
So we're good with those. We're good to have an update, though, just to know where we're but I don't see any problem.
So
would you prefer November over August, though?
It's up to you guys to work that out. Yeah, I would, but I want to see this thing get done, so I can't retire until it does get done, so it's got to get done. Do whatever you want.
Get it done.
Let me out of here.
Other issues with it, then?
No.
That's actually
glad to hear you're still going forward. John?
Hello? Yes?
All right, so the next one is the Bradford Island Bridge overlay.
I just got this.
You just got it?
Yeah, so I haven't looked it. I've, skimmed it.
I skimmed it, too.
It's kind of an update on it.
Yeah, but it's an update or it's a coordination?
A coordination, but I mean, you've seen it before, and it's
loose with these updates.
It's not an update. It's an updated.
I'm telling you. We're not going to ask you.
But Ben's... Men's disappear.
You do it. This is the new way. We got to change the fish passage plan. You will get 1 hour.
That's right. We're going to cut it. Cut it even shorter for you. Tell you this. We just
track.
Not even have that problem.
You can just come here and tell us. That's the way it was when I first started this job.
Dr. Noel. We need to return.
I remember those good old days.
The good old days when nobody was here. Until Ben gets back, we'll push on. I don't know where
He's like listening, waiting for it to be resolved. Let's see, what else do we have here? Fish passage plan, those completed, pending change forms. I'm sure you guys can read those. Task group updates, let's talk about the split flow group.
Do we have anything to talk about with the Lower Granite change form?
But Pam's not in right now.
Skip the break part.
Okay.
So the split flow group, I know we're kind of running, we need to get together sooner than later. And you have time Monday or you do not?
I'll be in the Dells on Monday. In the Dells.
You want to?
This is John Day you're talking about?
This is the Dells. The Dells. Looking at a test in the fall for basically a block test, spill on, spill off.
We'll have a meeting of the Dells
after,
in the afternoon.
We could do that.
If we'll be the trigger.
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
Not so.
No. Okay. I agree.
But we need to have a plan in place. I guess the big question here for us is to can we just do this without going to town or spending a bunch of money? According to Bob, I think you got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I just don't think there's enough to look at.
It comes down to $20K.
You're going to drop $50K just to get the model up and running.
Right.
Yeah, I hear that. So I think it would be valuable because I've got a lot of time on that model. I understand it very well, and I still I know that we've never tried to evaluate how far egress flows, how far traction flows extend in that tail race, and that's what I'd like to know, because I mean I can just say, hey, 30K, let's do that, no problem at all with that, but he's going to say, well, really? You know, how can't you fine-tune that? And that's the whole point of the model, was to go down and go through how many gate openings, how big a gate openings, and how much flow does it take to get flow to go downstream far enough so those fish will feel it and find their way up to the entrance. That's fine-tuning. We can just eyeball it, but you never will be able to eyeball that kind of that subtlety of that.
Right.
That's just a model.
I was just trying to imagine, you know, okay, how many scenarios are you going to run with? We'd start with 10, I thought. We'd start with 10.
KCFS, okay. It's pretty simple.
And then move to 20, and it's really, you know, that's 2 bays. Either right, 2 bays at 4 or 2 bays at 7 for those 2 settings, and that's it. You know, you can try to spread it across 1 through 8, but.
I wouldn't go 1 through 8, but there's a wall of 4 or 6 as well, so what? You've got you've got 4 walls to work with.
Right.
There's 4 walls. And so working with those walls and trying to guide that flow downstream or...
I mean, it just, I don't know. I would think running through bays 1 and 2 are your primary bays.
Right.
And you go with 10K or 20K, you're well under the opening that we see blocking.
I understand. Ladder. But so. I don't know how that looks where those adults, wherever they are, mm-hmm. are approaching the project downstream. So the better that looks, if that looked really good with 10K, I'm good with 10K. But if that looks like it dies before it even gets to the end of the shelf, then I'm not too good with 10K. I want to see 15 or 20 or whatever it takes to get flow to carry on out.
So the early trip is basically looking at the volume do we need to get the signature out there.
Then there's the question, if we did that, funding you guys to go down. I know that you guys
are going
to
be there.
Only, are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there already. So that's
so we don't have to worry about
you that. You don't have to fund us down there. No, it's going to be Ice Harbor Turbine. I'm hoping that they keep sliding that trip around. But whenever that trip occurs.
15K minimum nipper.
Right, I understand.
Right, but no. For days worth 100K.
Bill,
you've been asking for it. 20K is worth $100,000.
Right. And when do you hit the TDG limit?
What's that?
When do you hit the TDG limit?
That was at about 25K. We get 110.
So that's why I said in my memo, I said 25. I thought that we could get away with it at that point. We had the monitor, so we would look at that. But it'd be in that range. It could be even higher than that, but I felt 25 was about as much spill as we could get away with under the TDG limit for that time of the year, which is 110. So, you know, I think we're okay with that, but I mean, I understand your guys' concern too, so it's a matter of fine-tuning this thing so that we think it'll work. I don't want to do something that we don't think will work. It doesn't make sense. So, and I don't really want to do a test, because I don't think a test is, I mean, we can do a test of the operation, looking at the evaluation that we can, but I don't want to do a treatment test, unless you want to go for 2 months, and I don't think you do. So, you know, we're down to a two-week operation, probably at best, and I want to give that the best shot that we can.
Well, John, are you hearing this?
Yes.
So it sounds like we're going to try to see if we can get down to the ERDIC.
I just want to make sure Bob
if we have the funding
in August. That's all I'm looking for.
What, Misery Loves Company?
I want to watch that the Minnesota.
we'll get the funding, hopefully. Does anybody know when the Ice Harbin Turbine model trip is?
That's Gary. They're changing the dates around.
Yeah, it's changing around.
It's got to piggyback on that trip.
Okay, I'll look into that one.
Okay. You guys want to do your goose discussion?
Goose or granite
model? Whatever it was.
Granite discussion.
Granite discussion.
I know Russ. Yeah, so Bill's here.
Russ, you still on? Because I know you got to leave soon.
I'm still here, surprisingly.
All right.
Okay, good. Well, Russ, you're the one person I got written comments.
You're supposed to get for me, and
it sounds like Tom is going to tell us what his are. Yeah. So
he usually gives good oral comments.
This is kind of round three, at least in FPOM, talking about Bill Hevlin drafted an FPP change form in an effort to get ahead of the potential to have an issue like we had last summer at Granite so that we didn't have everyday TMT calls trying to come up with what would be the best operation. That said, I modified the change form after our original meeting, didn't get it sent out until after the April FPOM. After sending it out at the April FPOM, I got comments from Russ. And then both RCC at our last FPOM had, Doug in particular, had commented on the difficulty of doing makeup spill and wanted it out. I didn't take it out of my draft, but there was a revised draft that went out since then that had that addressed a little better, as well as Chris Pinney wanted to see the spill pattern type addressed, and so that was in the latest draft. I believe that Bill was also uncomfortable with the length of time that I had in that to decide that there was an issue to make you go between alternatives, and so that was backed off as well. So, you know, that said, I think maybe we open up for those that have comments and let you vent your comments here initially and see where we're headed. For the core, one of the changes before Lisa sent it out that I want to reiterate is that this was a temporary change. We did not see this as a long-term change that we were going to support. This was just until we got permanent fixes made to address the cool water in the fishway. So by 2016, then, these would be being removed from the fish passage plant if it gets approved to be put in the first place.
Like I said, that's one question. There was talk about trying to do something this year. Is that still going forward, or is that off the table now? Or
so I am hopeful. I was told earlier this week, 2 days ago, that I might have some feedback by Friday, but I've been promised before the end of May that I would have scoped out the alternatives for using a diesel and or other pump to support cooler water to the trap, which would be different than last year. And I don't have that yet, but I should be getting that shortly. So that I'm hopeful that there may be an alternative. If there is, then my path forward is I have to work with our chief of ops to try to identify if we could come, you know, funding, et cetera, because it will be an O&M cost, and right now we don't have that money just sitting there. So that's kind of our path forward. I guess I'll comment that in terms of temperature this year, we seem to be right in the middle for this time of year, between 12 and 13. So, you know, we're not as warm as 13, but we're not as cool as 12. So, not sure what that says, but just a general background comment for where, you know.
Yeah, the only reason people are getting somewhat concerned is there is potential for an El Nino setting up, and sometimes that can set some interesting summer conditions. So that's why this is getting a little more interest right now.
Sure, so we're still on the path of what we've said we could do this year, and that is to see if we could get some sort of, you know, number one, it's based on pump availability, and then it's the quantity of water that would be necessary to supply the trap.
You know, Wanapa might have a couple pumps you can use here shortly.
Well, you know, 25 kcfs is a lot of water.
Can I have the reservoir back up?
25 kcfs is a lot of water, and so that's part of the scoping that's going on. Is if we were to have the need, could we go out and just find these pumps? And so I hope to have that information here shortly. That said, I think we're clear on what we could do this next year that would be any different than what we were able to do last year. One other element that wasn't part of this change form is that engineering, Ryan Lowry went out, I believe Greg went along, a couple other people, and worked with the project, and the diffuser gate that we could only get 80% open last year, they were able to open it all the way. And
it worked out really strange this time. It worked out really good when we were physically out there
adjusting
everything.
They got some guys a little bigger.
It doesn't
spin out this time.
Solve our problem, however, because
really solve the problem,
the diffuser 14 intake is really only 10 feet deep in the floor bay, and our cooler water is down around 30 to 35.
Yeah,
so
that's
just for an awareness that people are looking hard at the system, trying to find if there's any other tweaks we could make this year. But that one probably isn't going to help us with cool water. So then we're back to what Bill originally proposed and has been changed a little bit, which was to look at actual operations and what we might modify and try to find agreement on within the group to have kind of table ready if and when we were to see conditions set up. So, you know, Chris Pinney also forwarded out, and we've kind of asked him to go through normal channels in the future so that we could make people aware of what his handout was related to. But anyway, and so I sent him an email asking that. People did get the UI draft summary, and I've been told that that was also taken to SRWG forums, although I'm not part of those, so I'm not aware. But basically, you know, the draft information from there was suggestive that there was some benefit to Unit 1 operation. And a lot of the feedback that I got from Russ when he wrote his was that he didn't support the change form because there was no benefit to Unit 1 operation. And so I guess after reviewing the UI draft, Russ, have you been able to think through this issue in any different light?
One is part of my response was based off of reviewing that memo, and it's one where that the only positive we got that I saw in that memo is that when we went to the turbine one and heavier turbine operations, we did see fish entrance distribution move, and more fish did enter the south entrance, but it seemed to me that number one is that I saw no evidence that it really increased overall passage, and it primarily just switched which entrance they entered before the real problem, which is the warm water, cause the fish to turn around and exit the ladder system. So the turbine one operation, what its benefit primarily is to try, at least what we're attempting to do there, is to get more fish to enter But from what I read that report, the draft memo from those guys, is that during the period we're having this problem, that their radio tag fish, and their sample size was small, but their radio tag Chinook that were approaching at that time entered the ladder system on average 8 times before passing. And the 4 fish that never passed, they entered the ladder system 35.5 times each and turned around and left. So doing this turbine one operation might have some slight benefit to ladder entrance, but if they're just turning around and exiting, we're not really helping those fish, and it could be better to keep them just holding in the cooler water below Lower Granite until the ladder cools down and they can actually enter and pass the project. And then the other thing is that, as I stated clearly, is that I support developing these options and outlining how they would progress if in season. And I'm sorry, but I prefer to do multiple calls to make decisions than to set a plan to do something that would take away from juvenile protection that may or may not help the main issue of adult passage. And so my main concern is to put it in a change form that if we see a count differential of X amount, we're automatically going to implement these steps that do reduce juvenile protection measures. And so I don't want to make it automatic. I support developing these options so that if we get in a situation, just like last year, I and other SAM managers did support these type of options because we were trying to solve this problem. But in reviewing the data, I'm pretty well convinced that this doesn't solve the main issue, and its benefit to fish survival is highly questionable because it may be worse for them to enter and exit more times and still not pass until the temperature cools and then finally pass than it would be for them to be stuck below the project but not expending energy. And then once we get the ladder cool down, they go ahead and pass. Maybe better for them. I'm not arguing it is, but I'm just saying it could be. And so these outlines, in my mind, my review of the technical information, have questionable benefits. Now, I do want to point out, though, that there is one uncertainty, and that is during the discussions last year, several folks were hypothesizing or hoping that by doing a heavy turbine, especially turbine one operation, that we might be able to pull enough cool water over towards diffuser 14 entrance to make a difference. And if anyone has data to support that hypothesis, that could potentially make me reconsider the position. But at this time, one is I think we got a better plan to deal with the real issue this year, and even better on down the road for the real issue of the warm water in the ladder. And at this time, we are still not going to support this change form being implemented.
Okay, so one comment, Russ, your uncertainty, I don't recall that ever being discussed. When we talked about Unit 1 ops pulling cooler water, it was actually in the tail race over towards the South Shore entrance. And so it was the mixing of the flow augmentation water over closer to the South Shore entrance. It had nothing to do with pulling cooler water into the diffuser 14 intake that's only 10 feet below the surface.
Okay. Well, then, so once again, you know, what we did is we changed, from my review of the information, we changed which ladder they entered, but I didn't see that we increased passage by doing so.
So
all we may have had is more fish turn around after entering.
Well, I think the only comment that I have, and I only have the draft here, and that basically just said that there was an increase of about 17% of entrance into the ladder when Unit 1 was operating. So it was 50%, and then if Unit 1 was operating, it was 67%. I also want to remind you that we had days where we had the water cooled down in the ladder, and we did not have passage.
Do we have temperature data from other years? Last year was a unique year with the roof. We really goofed up the floor bay, going from the spill, the generation, and back and forth. So I'm wondering if we, when we run a normal operation with, say, unit one on and it's more constant, and we don't change the surface to low and move it up and down like we were last year.
Well, normal operation right now wouldn't be unit one on since it's fixed blade.
No, but mm-hmm. past we had that, or unit one was on before we went to the summer spill. Do we know if the temperature was better? How far back do we have temperature?
We do have temperatures quite a ways back in the adult fish ladder.
You're going to have to answer that.
Because this is a unique problem that only showed up last year, and it wasn't that really, really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't anything spectacular with the weather that said, oh, wow, that's it. But it's what really did happen was we changed the operation tremendously with roof.
Well, but that was later in the summer. You know, the July issue was prior to the roof repair, and that was the sockeye issue that got this whole thing started. So while it didn't help, I'm not sure that it really changed the big picture of what might have occurred last year, to be totally honest with you. I mean,
we did some work in July as well.
Well, a couple days is a little different than just a steady. I mean,
it was a testing.
Diane, can I ask you a question?
You bet.
Did you just say that you believe that somehow the ladder temperature wasn't an issue, and you're indirectly in what you said at the end of your comments?
Well, what I said is that he's basically saying that ladder temperature was the whole issue, and I'm saying that once we turned on those auxiliary pumps, we were able to cool down that entire ladder. We didn't have enough cool water to operate the trap, and so to say that it was the ladder that didn't allow passage once we cooled it down is incorrect. There are other factors that were influencing it. So the ladder was cool, and yet we didn't have passage at times.
When you say cool, however, what we're talking about is a temperature that was near lethal. So cooling of a degree when it's 72.
Actually, most of the time it was staying, you know, once we'd have to look at that, but we only had two or three days where we got back up to lethal when we were running the auxiliary pumps, and that was in September.
I didn't say lethal. I said near lethal. So, I mean, we're talking about an incremental change here that's high or very, very high, or whatever you want to say.
Well, a lot of the issue was the amount of differential between the tail race that was getting flow augmentation water versus the water that was incoming at the exit at the top of the ladder. Well, one of the things that this report or draft report doesn't tell us is what did it look like at the fish count window? Because there we have mixing. At the top of the ladder, we have a lot of water coming in from the exit, coming in from the surface. We get below the control section, which is the vertical slot weirs, and we get mixing because we're then bringing water in through diffuser 14. And, you know, as we get farther down, then midway in the ladder, closer to south shore entrance, then we have some of the tail race water being manipulated with just the existing fish pumps. So I don't think that the whole story was painted by this research data. I agree with that, and you know, this is just a draft, and there's some tweaks, but this study wasn't meant to address our issue. It's just ancillary information to either support or tell us, you know, we were all wet.
And also the fish that passed that were delayed, that all occurred a lot before we started doing a lot of these special operations. I mean, I think the last one was July 31st, so, and we started doing the special ops July 28th, and so this isn't an assessment of their special operations mm-hmm. that we did. This is a test that they did on their own. So if we look at our data that we actually collected from the hobos and the hourlies and the passage, I think the biggest increase, I mean, I didn't run statistics, but it seemed pretty clear that once we turned the pumps on, that was the biggest response. Mm-hmm. And then the combination of pumps on plus unit one seemed to have the combined best effect for both attracting fish to the ladder and then keeping them in the in the ladder with the minimal differential.
That's what I saw too. Yeah. I think that's important to consider, Ross, is that because the count data that we were looking at on TMT and to see the response when we turned unit one on, we got quite a few more counts on there than when we had unit two. And so I agree with your point that this just changes the percentage going into a particular entrance. But when you look at that count data too, that's additional information that indicates that it had a beneficial effect and it reversed the eddy, which is also, as we know, beneficial.
Well, and it's pulling cooler water. I mean, it's pulling more cooler water from deeper in the forebay. That's the water we're providing from Dorshack to keep the 68 degree tail race. So it's providing a net benefit to the tail race conditions. So, but that seemed to be from just the real time passage data. That seemed to be the thing that seemed to pop out the most was the combination of the pumps. That was the big one, and then that combined with the backup of the unit one operation.
Yeah, and to be fair, really, this operation was a haphazard approach to trying to address what we're seeing. It really wasn't, you know, developed in a way that you'd be able to emergency maintain.
But that's the effort now
comparison.
Is to, okay, everybody sat through the TMT calls. Bill's asked, why don't we all, like, gather our thoughts here now so that where we start our discussions this year, should we have those circumstances again? That we're starting from a higher level based on what we learned last year. So, I mean, these discussions are good. If I wanted to point figures, I might say that just where the conversation is going, Tom was one of the biggest people early on saying Unit 1 has no effect and he didn't want to support it. By the end, I think you were supporting it.
I never said that, actually. I said Unit 1, I said our biggest concern is the temperature issue. I said Unit 1, we don't think it's going to do a lot for your temperature, and that's where probably 80% of your problem is. You might get some possible benefits from unit one. We didn't think you were going to get very much. I said the biggest issue you got to do is figure out how to keep the ladder cool and keep the differentials down.
A two-part.
Exactly.
I mean, that characterization is what I recall.
No, I remember him saying, though, that it appears to be beneficial
after
he did it. He said, by God, Trevor's idea of running unit one actually looks like it's having a benefit. I specifically remember those
tapers. Are you trying to get the tapers?
Are you trying to get the
tapers? At
least I remember two.
Could you help your job performance there, Trevor?
He said that on September 1st.
Yeah, September 1st.
He was like, oh, hey.
Here's what I'm hearing.
I'm going to look at the map on the notes on that.
First, the highest priority is to cool the ladder down first. Before we do any messing with the operation.
Nobody's arguing that.
Cool the ladder down. Yeah. That was Russ's point, is we don't want to be shoving, making sure we can get fish in that entrance when the ladder isn't cooled down. Yeah. Because they're better off in the cool tail race.
Right.
So cool the ladder. I thought we wrote this as that, Ann. The highest priority is first cool the ladder down.
The first step. Yeah.
Then this is second priority down here. If that's not... If we've got a blockage in the tail race due to hydraulic conditions, like we've had at Goose many times when water was cool in the ladders, when water was cool in the tail race, we can block adults at these projects. Then we need to consider, we've got the ladder cooled down, and still we're just dribbling adults in there. They're not finding the main entrance. Then that's why we're trying to develop some... adult-friendly tail race patterns. And the thing we do seem to know is adult-friendliness, that granted, when you got low flows, is to have unit number one on. And there's a problem with unit number one. You got to have a certain amount of flow to run that baby. And where is that flow going to come from? Well, you got to take a little, got to steal a little from the spillway for a short period of time to get adults going in the morning. Then you could put that back. That flow back to the spillway, and I hate to see it. It is taking a little bit of our protection for sub-yearlings over there.
But just to be clear, that's only during minimum generation operations. As long as we have the flow, unit one isn't going to take anything away from the spillway.
Okay. Okay.
So,
yeah.
So as long as that's just that critical point. It's just during min-gen. And
we
were in min-gen a lot last year because of that roof work, or because of the alternating roof work and all the in the low flow.
Yeah, it's when you're below 36. Yeah. You have 18 spill and you go 17.
60.
Yeah.
It's also
sorry,
more likely
to
be below
36.
Yeah.
This is Russ. I need to make a couple points. One is I'm reading this draft memo differently than Ann is, because what it says here, however, relative use of the south powerhouse opening was lower when there was zero discharge from turbine one, about 50%, than there was when discharge
from Turbine 1, which was about 60%, and that's just using the south entrance. There's nothing that says that overall ladder entrance increased. And number two, Trevor, if you have the data that shows that the turbine heavy operation was a contributing factor to increasing adult passage and can provide that to the group, I would be more likely to recommend implementing that operation. But as I read the change form, it says that when temperature, when count differentials get to this level, we're going to start implementing these steps. And I have yet to see data that is convincing me that reducing juvenile protection measures made a significant difference. If you have the data, I will reconsider.
Yeah,
but I paid attention a lot last year, and I did not see that connection. Okay.
Well, like Eric says, I mean, it is highly anecdotal data. You know, it's the best information we have. It's not a scientific study, but if you sum the counts and you say turbine one operation versus turbine two or speed no load or whatever the hell we are doing, and just stack the numbers up, I mean, it's very clear that there are way higher counts during the turbine one operation. Is it statistical? You know, is it going to pass scientific review? Hell no. But yeah.
Well, no. I'm not saying scientific review, but I want to summarize that. And number two is, we probably, and I don't know, I'm just saying that based on my recollection from last year, is we were also, like I said, we were throwing everything we could at it. And so likely we were cooling the ladder down and then switching the turbine operations. So once again, was it, yes, you might be able to say that, well, when we're doing turbine one, we got better passage. But that was not because of turbine one, possibly. It may have been just that the turbine one operation coincided with the efforts to cool the ladder down.
We also switched to turbine two at that same time.
Yeah, and that's incorrect, because once we started those pumps, there was only several days in September, late September, where we went above where we wanted to be. We were roughly running 68, 69, which was cooled down ladder versus forebay temperatures. So we had a cool ladder once we started operating those pumps. That's why the message these guys are given is it's more than just cooling down the ladder, and I think that's what we support as well. I hear your message, Russ, that it didn't say in terms of this draft report that it's not clear that there was higher passage. I think there's also some other caveats to this report. They don't even have the discharge in KCFS for turbine one, correct? It doesn't appear. So there's kind of, they don't seem to understand that it's fixed blade. It's either on or off. They've got a 1-10 KCFS and then a greater than 10 KCFS. There's really only one operation. So there are some caveats with the draft UI report. That said, I guess, you know, where does that leave us in terms of being able to have something that would be ready to tee up in our initial discussion if and when we were to have these circumstances occur? So, you know,
I recommend that those that propose and support this change form to convince others of us that you need to put a memo together that summarizes the data that you believe indicates that this is a beneficial move for fish survival, and I will gladly review it and see if I concur with your conclusion on the data. But just like you're not going to change your mind based on my recollection of what I remember of the data last year, you're not going to convince me with your recollection of the data when we were scrambling last year.
Let's move forward with
that. So if you think there's something in there that convinces you that will work, put it together and send it out to the group.
Sounds like a plan.
That's what we'll do.
Because I'm in the Rust camp right now. I need to go spend some quality time looking at temperature data, passage data.
I can send you everything.
And I just need to spend some time dealing with that.
So let's get a write-up and send it out for the next discussion.
Who's the poor sucker who's going to do that?
Well, we have kind of a drafted write-up of the circumstances from last year that's kind of a white paper at this point that's never been distributed. We could probably build on that, don't you think, Lisa? We could let it out as a white paper, knowing that we haven't had full review internally on it that people could kind of pick at.
Sure.
So, and I guess the only caveat there is, do you think you have to check with the...
Yeah, it would need to be modified. I think it's probably too much information. I mean, it's just...
It's better to have too much information.
But there's no data in it. So what this is asking for is the data.
Everybody's having sidebars here. Let's wrap this up so we can call it a meeting.
So the core... maybe with conjunction with Trevor, because you know he just has nothing else to do, is going to come up with some delightful white paper describing what you guys, your case for why you think Unit 1...
I just use my time wisely to try
something. Oh! Well, I have to keep sending, you know, like, please ignore that previous email. I have to keep doing that, so...
All right, so Walla Walla is going to draft something up with Trevor's going to input it and send it to the group. So I'll close that one. Bill, you good with that?
Okay. Let's get on with this BI thing and call it good.
Call the meeting?
I know. Well, let's talk to everybody.
It could go a lot smoother.
Oh, really? Okay, go have your sidebar. You need to go do a different room.
Now that you're done, belaboring temperature thing.
All right, so thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Russ.
You can go walk your dog now.
Go check.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, Doug, actually, Russ, thanks for bringing that out the way you did. I appreciate it. I know.
So let's go to the last... coordination form, which is the BI bridge overlay, Bradford Island.
What do you got, Bruce?
What do you got there?
You figured it out, Gary?
Well,
I skimmed the first page. I'm not ready.
Yeah, looking it through, my questions to Ben are, one is, what's our Chinook passage at that time? This is a composite, which Steelhead and Coho, too, for that matter, which would be the fish that we'd be most concerned about stalling. And it's 18 days, so it's a pretty good period of time in November. So then what I started thinking about was a couple of things, and one would be maybe if it's a continuous and it's not, are they taking weekends off, you know, so there's a break, so the fish are trying to get through on that side.
Yeah.
If there's a break, they're going to start at 0700, which means that at that time of the year it's kind of dark. Really has a, you know, it is dark.
Yeah.
So fish passage may not have started. A thought would be maybe to slide every 3 days or so. You slide back a couple hours and let fish go through, you know, so no activity for a couple of hours of daylight. That would allow any fish that are stacked in there to go through. The other thought was you could stop a B branch spill and not pull fish into that system for that period of time. And other ladders are open, so I don't
know. The thing I forgot to look, is Washington Shore going to be operating?
Yeah, it'll be running.
So
you've got Cascade Island, Washington Shore running.
Yeah.
But this is at a location where both branches come together right at that bridge, so it will affect all fish passing the Oregon side. So that's my question. The Ben was whether, you know, there was breaks in there that we could put into it, either that they're going to not work weekends or that they could take a couple of hours of daylight and just postpone for every couple of days.
Are you talking about one or the other? Like either staggered mornings or weekends? Or
both? Yeah, or I just didn't know if this was a continuous 18 days or if they were working only on weekdays.
I can ask them and probably suggest whatever. I don't think it's... And Stone, because like I said just yesterday, they mentioned working at night.
Working 24/7.
So.
Well, if they're doing 24/7, it'd be nice if they gave a couple hours of break. And if they could do that and we don't spill on that side of the river.
Or we switch the spill to the other side.
Yeah. Or, well, we would have spill on the other side already. You could do that. Yeah.
Try to hire fish if they're going to go
on that side.
What days of the month is it? The first 18? Or is it?
It's 10 through 28.
Yeah. So it's right in the middle of the chum operation, so I don't know Swings aren't big enough that time.
You
just need to run both bars. Otherwise, you can run all through the first or the second.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. Is like, can we just go to powerhouse two?
Well, it will be priority. Most of the fish will be over there anyway. Yeah. I mean, we're like
a unit, maybe.
It depends on if it rains.
It's a pretty minor issue, but it's just that if there are fish stacking in there, if you're working 24/7, if you're working all day, which this would be all the daylight hours every day for 18 days, if there were fish that got stacked in there, then I'd want to make sure we gave them a little gap to get through in a couple hours.
Okay. Maybe, a couple hours every 3 days or something like that, just to make sure they get stacked up and held up too long.
You can take that back. We can make sure we can get some numbers, see if it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It's
video counting.
It's
video counting.
We
have a three-day delay anyway.
It's a video count. Yeah, it would be an in-season thing. So I guess maybe take that back and see if there's a chance. I really don't see a big problem with this. And certainly you got to get it done. So it's just
I can get the details on it.
Can we adjust it a little bit? I think there's probably enough Chinook still passing and Como that I'd be concerned. So it'd be a matter of can we just give them a break, through the construction period, give them a couple hours to move through there.
Do you want that same info with just Chinook broken out of it?
I can look at that myself. I don't think you need to do that. I'd be more interested if you could just do that little slide.
Yeah,
so that's great. That little gap in from, let's say, 07 to 0900 or something like that. Started 0900 the other day.
Okay. You're talking our language there, 0900, man. Military. We got you finally.
Oh, actually, been there a long time. Been there a long time. It's always fun to try to do both.
Okay.
Good and good.
Is that good? So we do have to go through our little task group updates because, seven, with the split flow group, so you're talking maybe the ice harbor is middle of July.
The ice harbor trip is
so we'll try
like
to
the 7th
on
or
that.
The 14th of July. If it's the 7th, I'm not on.
So you have to be there because you have experience with that model.
I've got to be in Iowa. So is
the week of the
14th. Lori a person that can
Lori
do
is the one
this?
That, yeah. So we're
you
just
can't
gonna,
send her. It's up to you guys. I don't know how much money you have to get people.
We'll get as many there as we can. That is appropriate.
Yeah.
So
is it really 50K to get that model up?
That's her ballpark.
That's crazy.
So we'll double check on that, and that's CRFM funding.
Shop back, turn the handle. Right. If it doesn't work, yeah, okay, it's 50. If it works.
You got to pay somebody for the month and a half before and after to clean up and set up. So,
God.
So anyway, we're going to piggyback that, and we'll have a meeting before that trip.
Okay. Let's do that. Now I have a strange form that I have a new one. I can't even remember. It's 3 weeks ago since I last looked at it. So it was internal review, and Trevor has comments. I haven't talked to him about those yet, so we need to talk about that before I send it out to everybody. But I will send out a new change form, and what I did was I made it a NOAA change form, and I made some decisions. So
you did
recommendations, internal decisions, which will be recommendations, and
okay.
So one of which was to not call this a test, at least not a two treatment test.
It's fine.
So, yeah, Trevor and I are going to talk about that.
We look forward to seeing it.
So I'll send that out as soon as I can.
Okay.
Before the end of next week.
Okay.
So what's this related to?
This is related to the crowding issue at the Dalles and splitting flows, putting some spill out
to the north ladder.
To pull fish to the north ladder.
If we get these record runs,
with the trail.
So. Okay, so the Bonneville Ops Group. We can finally cross it off.
I am done.
Let's not even bring it up again.
The report.
And what's the
rest?
The path forward is to implement the change form and then revisit the data when we get it.
3 weeks.
I have some ideas. Can I join that group?
What's that?
It's too late
now.
Yes, you are now on it.
You are it.
You're the chair.
Okay.
So,
let's just make Rusty.
And we've heard you loud and clear. You want to see the data, and you don't
I made that statement yesterday, too.
Yeah, I've heard it. It's in the notes. It's in the audio.
More than a couple of times.
We will have a meeting when we get the data.
Okay. And I think at that meeting, I think it would be helpful to have summaries of all the information that we have.
Can we belabor this into another meeting?
Yes, I am.
Well,
he said
meetings.
I didn't. He said meetings.
Next meeting.
What's that?
We should have the P&L report by next DEFCON.
That's
the P&L report?
That's what RareSearch says.
So when it gets out, we'll give you plenty of time to review it, and then we will discuss it.
So everyone else is okay with implementing it at this point?
Yes.
I've got some concerns how it's going to play out on the ground, but we'll just
You want a table?
Well, just to be clear, Dave.
I'd like a table back in there, please.
I think I caveated.
How that happens, we'll just have to see.
How what? Okay.
The notification, if it's coming in at noon and it's Friday and Saturday, no one's working there at noon, it's going on half the day, you know, just little stuff that's going to matter.
Good question.
Well, this is a technical group, and from the technical perspective, we still think that limiting the powerhouse 2 to the midpoint.
Carl Duggar, McNary Dam.
Has left the conference.
Just period. No caveats. Mm. Throwing the extra flow through powerhouse 1 at BOP is, at least at this point, debatable as to whether the direct mortality is different or not. You don't have the report yet.
Well, we've seen the data.
I haven't seen the data.
Okay.
Nobody has seen the final report. You've seen preliminary data.
Okay, so I don't want to get into another argument yesterday.
So what I want to say...
Until we get the data.
What I want to say is that supporting putting more fish through the turbines at Powerhouse 1
I think
is not where the service
figures flow.
And there's no data to support that you're going to get better returns by doing that. And so we would advocate considering more spill.
So you're going to support my pit day detection to turbines?
I've always supported that.
All right, you're on the record. Can we move on now?
Absolutely.
You jumped past the 2015 change forms.
I did?
Just to be clear, though, we would implement the change for effective today, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we're not going to object to it at this point because we don't have the data to talk one way or another.
What change forms?
F-4-10.
6.3.
I think that's really what we said,
too.
Sorry?
We said that yesterday. Well,
it's in development.
We don't necessarily have to talk about the one in development.
We're
the other one was sent out. We just need
the
thumbs up.
To the FL, right.
Okay, the McNary?
Yeah, McNary.
The no nighttime.
Okay, we got one more. We got one more change form. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was
6.3.2 McNary, no nighttime flow reduction.
So that's just the change of wording with the new entrance.
That's right.
Okay, so nobody has an issue?
No, that's the lamprey issue.
This is the no nighttime flow reduction.
It's Dave's responsibility.
6.3.2.
6.3.2.
For lamprey, but they don't have to now because they have the structure, the test structure.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're good. I didn't hear anybody say they weren't.
As long as the Lamprey task group, did they sign off on that? That's all I said.
The Lamprey group made the form.
Done. And I will follow their lead.
Yeah, it would actually probably hurt Lamprey passage to continue.
Probably will.
Right. The new box will be
it would be
dry,
not as effective.
High.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you shut that thing down.
Yeah. It'll be
All right, so then that leads to one more, is the AFF mods. John, do you have anything you want to update on that? He's gone. He's gone. All right, well.
Do you still need the sea lion task group?
Task group? Yeah, you should just have it until we find out, because Stellar's might be the next one.
It's fun.
Okay, well, thanks, everybody. Great meeting. What?
What? You cut your shoe off. Hey, who are you asking? Menu
feel that through returning to service through the 1st of May, so that will eliminate any concern.
Tom, I need to talk to you.
Hopefully, you may know that also.
Now let's get down to real questions.
If it doesn't go any further, I think we still kind of have it in the office so that on the shelf anyway, kind of they're waiting. So that if we get a problem at the end of July or in August, there's a couple of lines to follow.
If we could see exactly what that paper is.